Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Kevin.
Yeah, and we're sans Adams.
But we have Adams? A couple of contest winners you may hear in the background this evening.
Yeah, they won a contest.
An audience. We have an audience for the first time.
Yeah, a live audience. This is the first live audience.
Say hi, Rory.
Hi, Rory.
Say hi, Kelly.
Hi.
There you go.
You can
numbers.
Tell they really want to be here.
Yeah.
That's the best part of having an audience.
Yeah. Well, it was a competition.
It was the engagement.
It was a competition that they weren't aware they were in.
Right.
And then they won. And then
it shouldn't matter, you're winners.
And then no one else entered.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Today, like it says on the podcast title, we're talking about a Nightmare on Elm Street series. We're going to talk about all the movies. So sit down, buckle up. It's going to be a long 4 hours.
I'm out of here.
Jenny's like, no, I'm out. No, it should be short and sweet. I think we're going to talk about a lot. About the
definitely not short and sweet.
Maybe long and...
There's a lot to dig into.
Perturbed.
So let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Let's go right to it.
Yeah, what'd you guys watch?
What'd you guys watch? Fucking nine Nightmare on Elm Street
all
movies.
All seven Nightmare on Elm Street movies?
Yeah. Well, what do you mean seven?
Seven, eight.
Eight.
And then the
documentary. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah, nine. There's nine.
Oh, the nine including the documentary?
No. Nine.
Six.
Why are you?
New Nightmare is seven, right?
Hands down, always.
Seven.
You're always confused.
Freddy vs. Jason is eight.
What's going on?
And then Nightmare on Elm Street 2010 is number nine.
It's number nine, okay.
Your go-to, like,
my go-to
mode
is confused?
Is confused. You're always like, that, I understood the topic completely wrong.
I think that's both. I think that's both fair and unfair. In the sense that the past 2 weeks, it's been totally fair. But every other time, unfair.
Okay. All right, so we'll get into it. First movie we're going to talk about is... 1984's A Nightmare on Elm Street, written and directed by one Wes Craven. Is his name West or Wesley?
It's Wes.
Wes.
It's just Wes.
It's Wes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty cool name.
In the documentary, The Never Sleep Again, which I do recommend everyone watches, he's credited as writer, producer, executive producer, director, and then quote unquote Wes Craven.
Really?
Because he is an entity unto himself.
That's pretty cool. So, all right. So, we're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street. Kevin, can I just trust you to give us the synopsis? Would that be okay? You're looking at me like
sure.
Give us a synopsis for people who haven't seen this movie and listening to this podcast.
Basically, a ghost, or I guess.
Entity.
An entity named Freddy. Who happened to rape and molest children, and their parents basically got revenge on him by killing him and burning him to
burning
death.
Burning him alive.
Burning him to death.
Well, it's not said specifically in the movie that he molested them.
Not until the very last.
Yeah. Not until the very end.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's never said in the first movie.
Yes.
It's always that he just killed them.
Again, you're confused. Damn it, you never disappoint. You never disappoint.
That's an unfair moment. But what's the moment?
At the end, they say that because John Saxon says, "Yeah, we burned him," and the mom too. The mom says, "Like, oh, we did this, and it's kind of a secret we've always had."
Yeah,
because he was killing children.
And
yeah, they didn't say no. In the first one, they don't say he molested.
That's
anybody.
The whole point. In the original script, he was a child molester, but then in the movie, they never say that. It's only that he killed children in the neighborhood.
That is true. All right.
Well, he killed the kids.
But that's super important for movies that come later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they both dive into it, come back, dive in and come back to that idea that he molested the children. In the original script, he did, but they dialed it back.
But nevertheless, that's the intent of the character.
If murder to molestation is dialing it back.
So anyway, so this entity... He attacks people.
He basically comes back to enact his revenge on the parents that burned him alive and pretty much haunt the dreams of their kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we start off in 1984 with the first one, A Nightmare on Elm Street. And it starts off, and I guess the main protagonist would be Nancy, played by
Heather Langenkamp. Really?
Yeah.
after all this. Yeah. You can't pull her name in like 2 seconds.
I knew it was Heather, but I can never pronounce her last name. It's
but she's also
long.
Not really the protagonist until
halfway
through the movie.
Tina
yeah.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Tina all the way until you know, halfway or even like 2/3 of the way into the movie.
But that's what's so cool about some of these movies where you're like, okay, this is going one way, and then bam, it's going another.
Yeah, but in retrospect, it's like, oh, that's Wes Craven's gimmick.
Yeah.
Because then he always does that.
Like Scream, too.
Well, that's what I mean. In retrospect, Scream, everyone's talking about like, oh, he pulled like a Janet Leigh with Drew Barrymore, you know, dying at the beginning of the movie. Yeah. But he seems to have done that a lot before.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. It's 1984.
So good.
Early 80s. I really enjoyed it.
It holds up. It's 100%.
Well, okay, so we'd all seen this one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Out of all the ones.
So we'll say, I know Kevin had seen this as a kid. You'd seen this as a kid.
I did not see this as a kid.
Really?
I had seen this as like a teenager.
Yeah, I was a teenager when I saw it.
You were a teenager?
Yeah, I was a teenager.
Okay. I saw it as a kid. I was horribly traumatized. But it made me the person I am today.
It's still scary. It's effective. Like it holds up 100%.
I completely agree. Yeah.
And we'll say that the it's really important that if you love these movies and you're excited about Halloween and watching all these movies, you should watch a movie documentary. It's on Netflix right now. It's called Never Sleep Again. And it really is about the making and behind the scenes of all the movies. All nine movies. Yeah, it's really well done.
A lot of good, cool, fun Hollywood stories.
Yeah.
And if you're interested at all in the mythology of the movies, it's a good watch.
Just go into it realizing it's 4 hours long.
Yeah. So watch it like you would the movie. It works well if you watch the movie and then watch the making of.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did
pretty
much.
Just that section. Yeah. And then move on to the next movie. Yeah. So basically the kernel of the idea came because he read an article, Wes did, in the news about how these teenagers were dying in their sleep.
Specifically, strangely, Asian American.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah.
How they never explained how the kids actually died in the.
No,
thing.
They just said
that
they
died in
their sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. And that they had been like trying specifically to stay awake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they knew that they would die the second they went to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the kids, they discovered that he had been, his parents had been giving him sleeping pills, and they found the sleeping pills under the pillow, so he hadn't been taking them, and they found a secret, little cabinet where he had a Mr. Coffee, and he would brew coffee before he, you know, so he wouldn't get sleepy and stuff. But that one time he went to sleep, didn't wake up, fucking died.
Boom.
Freddy got him.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing works because it's all about vulnerability, right? It's all about, like, the moment at which you have no control at all.
Yeah. Like, when using a urinal.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, are we going to go on that tangent about how Ricardo, host of the show, has a weird fear about being slashed at the throat at a urinal?
Well, yeah, you're facing the wall. You don't know who's coming up behind you.
Yeah, but you're facing the wall when, like...
It's not illogical.
You use, like, a payphone or...
Well, a payphone, you could turn around because it's got... It gives.
You can turn around at a urinal. Nothing's stopping you.
And then pee on the fucking floor?
Oh, so decorum is more important to you than surviving.
Well,
at that
I mean, you don't want to pee on the... You don't want to create more problems for the janitor.
Oh, sure. That poor guy.
Just get the little camera that Arnold has in True Lies with the glasses and just put it behind you and you will never
just always walk around with the GoPro.
Yeah.
Face it backwards.
Yep.
That's pretty. And then, but how do you pee and unzip while you're holding the camera? That's the problem.
GoPros you can mount on your body.
Yeah, that's not weird at all, going into a urinal with a GoPro camera on your shoulder.
All right. So anyway,
it's like that.
It's exactly like that. You're vulnerable, you're sleeping, and what's so cool about the first one and what I liked about, and even as a kid, was that it takes itself serious and it doesn't at the same time. Like all the jokes that Robert Englund puts in and like the humor that he puts in, it kind of gives you a little bit of fresh air to be like, okay, I'm not scared. I don't have to be scared the whole time. There's some funny comedic moments
but it gives you levity in the sense of like any movie, like about a serial killer, they'll have some funny lines.
Yeah.
They're not like funny. You know what I mean? They're not jokes, but they give you enough levity in a scene to kind of relax you for a moment before it gets serious again.
Yeah. Also, it tells you how serious he is, that he's killing people and making jokes about it.
And especially in the first one, he's mostly in the shadows, which really helps. As opposed to later movies where he's lit and he's 100% from all angles.
Coming out in daytime. And
Exactly. Daytime really hurts. Yeah. Like, this one is almost all at night.
He's like the Batman.
Yeah, it's like 90% at night, the first movie.
Yeah.
And it really, like, the scene, like, his one of his interests, but what you're talking about is, like, the cartoonishness, maybe?
Yeah.
But that's all because of the dreams, right? So, like, his first entrance, there's the effect of him, like, spreading his arms across the alleyway scratch his claws.
Which still holds up really well.
100%. All the physical effects. Tina's death, when she's writhing around in the room. And the effect is done with a room, a set that was designed to turn on a gimbal, right? Yeah. It's turning, you know, 360 degrees. But the effect works better than any, like, wire foo thing that has ever been made since.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's slow and deliberate, and especially the first part of it where she lifts out of the bed and is like writhing around.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Also, because her boyfriend, what's his name? Shit.
Rod.
He's strapped down to the floor and he's upside down.
Yeah.
As the room's spinning. So, and the camera is right next to him, like locked down. So it messes with your head.
Yeah, it just slowly, like,
you
know, slipping up the wall, like, onto the ceiling. Like, it works all the way.
The making of is really cool on Never Sleep Again, because they explain how all the windows, they couldn't see outside, out of the room, and how everyone freak out, and how Tina, Amanda, she would freak out. Like, when she did that scene, she couldn't stop yelling because she couldn't figure out what was up and what was down. And finally, Wes Craven had to come up and go, look, I'm standing. So this is what is normal. Yeah. But the room was upside down. There's some cool death scenes. This whole series started as the sequels came out. You'd look forward to, like, how are they going to kill these people in their sleep now?
Yeah.
Creativity.
Yeah.
But the first one is creative in the terror of it.
Yeah.
The later ones are creative in the cartoonishness of it. But this one is creative in the situation of it.
And the filmmaking part of it is pretty, like you said, the room spinning is pretty intense.
Yeah,
and
the blood is coming 100%. Out.
Yeah. We should say this also marks, was this Johnny Depp's first
movie? Role? Yeah. And him and Heather Langenkamp could not have less charisma.
Yeah.
Like, he really feels like he's not in this movie at all.
Yeah.
Like, in retrospect, it looks like it's Johnny Depp now playing that guy, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
Like, it seems like a tangent, like some weird professional tangent that he did.
They're like, Johnny, just play yourself.
Even though it's
just
his first movie. Yourself.
And he's like, I don't have a mustache or a crazy pet. And like, no, just you in a midriff jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to be fair, I saw some, like, interview things with him where he's like, he remembers it fondly, you know? Doesn't have anything bad to say about it. And even did a thing later in another movie.
Yeah. Like
specifically for the series. Yeah. When he was Johnny Depp.
Yeah. And actually, I was listening to an interview with Johnny Depp, and when he was talking about how he got the part. Did you guys read about this? Mm. How he went with Jackie Earle Haley to the audition. And one of the casting directors saw him in the waiting room and said, hey, are you here for the audition too? And he's like, no, I just brought my friend. I came to help my friend. And he's like, well, you should audition since you're here anyway.
Wait,
and
Jackie Earle Haley auditioned for the first one?
Yeah, for the part of...
That makes sense, because, like, Bad News Bear, like, he would have been the age.
He was a teenager.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a teenager back then.
Oh.
And then it's funny, because he eventually, Jackie Earle Haley, went on to play Freddy Krueger. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. And similar story, when this was being made... Mark Hamill is friends with Robert Englund, and Mark Hamill and Robert Englund were both going in for Star Wars auditions for Luke Skywalker at the time. And Robert Englund, like, Mark Hamill was auditioning for something else at the time, and Robert Englund was going in for Luke Skywalker, and he was like, no, Mark, you'd be good for this. And so he went in.
Ooh.
And fucking got Luke Skywalker.
Can you imagine Robert Englund as Luke Skywalker?
That sounds like the worst thing ever.
It's prime time, bitch.
Oh, my God. Is this where we first mention how many bitches there are in this thing? The bitches are interesting as far as when they are there and when they are not there.
Yeah.
Like, that tells a lot about where the series is at the moment of time.
Yeah.
When they have the bitches and when they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this movie had a lot of great actors in it, though. It had John Saxon, of course, Johnny Depp, and no one knew who he was back then. But Robert Englund is so underrated, and he did get typecast after this.
Underrated?
I think so.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Really?
So. Yeah.
He brings the charisma to Freddy.
Oh,
yeah.
But I think everyone agrees he's amazing as Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
That's what I mean underrated.
He's underrated as an actor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was so typecast after this.
Well, yeah. Because he's so iconic, especially because in later movies he plays himself in a way playing Freddy, right?
Yeah.
So, like, anytime he pops up now, you're like, oh, that's Freddy Krueger. But he still gets cast a lot in things where that matters and doesn't matter, you know what I mean? Like, he'll do guest stars on Chuck and Burn Notice and shit like that, you know what I mean? Where someone sees it, and they're like, oh, that's the guy who played Freddy Krueger.
But, I mean, he was really good. Like, he could have had, like, an Oscar-winning career. Like, meaning, like, he could have done, like, some serious work, but I think this affected him. But, I mean, I'm sure he made buttloads of money.
Oscar-winning?
I think he's that good.
That good?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think this...
And I don't say that to shit on Robert Englund.
I don't think this movie survives without him.
Oh, no. Without a doubt. 100%. No, no way.
Yeah. go ahead. We both went...
I can't remember what I was going to say.
did you know that The Room that's spinning?
Uh-huh.
They used it right after this. They used it for this movie. They used it for Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo. There's a scene, I had to watch it for the Canon series, where the kids break dancing up the wall and then the ceiling. And
it's a massive set. Like, it's an amazing set.
It's
a
huge room.
Yeah.
And
also totally without safety regulations.
Yeah.
As you find out in the documentary about when they're, like, turning the room and, like, blood is pouring out the windows. Like, it's when they use it for a later scene in the movie with Johnny Depp's death.
Yeah.
When he gets sucked into the bed and then, like, the blood spurts up from underneath. They do that when it's down on top.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone was, like, the thing wasn't turning, and then, like, everyone who was running the thing got soaked with blood coming out the windows.
And they got electrocuted a little bit.
Yeah. There were live wires everywhere. Yeah. Like,
Well, they used it in Electric Boogaloo, but in the background as, like a tribute to Nightmare on Elm Street, the Freddy's glove is in a picture framed in the background. Yeah, you should go check
it
out. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So anything
else? We should put up a screenshot to that for people to see.
Yeah.
Just to make you have to go look for it.
Oh, I had to sit through that movie.
Electric Break Into, Electric Boogaloo.
For the Canon film series.
My favorite thing in... So Never Sleep Again.
The documentary.
Like, we'll throw in a couple, like, trivia things from that, from different movies. But my favorite thing is John Saxon, consummate professional, coming in for that movie. The story of him coming in with, like, the two or three different wigs.
Yeah.
Being like, all right, what do you guys want?
You want the older dad?
Yeah,
you want the tougher dad?
You want the gentleman?
Yeah.
You want the professional?
But definitely, like, this starts off the series...
But I just can't stress enough how well it holds up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everything about it holds up. We have to talk specifically, because it'll come up later, the scene where he's going in through Nancy's wall above her bed.
Yeah.
And he's, like, pushing through. And the wall, the effect was just done because the wall was made of spandex.
Yeah.
But it looks amazing.
And we should, no one's done this, but we should, if I knew how to do this, put the remake, A Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake with Jackie Earle Haley, the CGI version of it, because they did the same shot, but with CGI.
And it is.
And it looks like shit.
Oh, it's fucking atrocious.
It looks like
shit.
It is
the worst.
Yeah. And this actually looks scary, because it's Robert Englund's face.
Yeah. And the thing they did in the first movie for that took a little bit of time to build, but is far more effective and ultimately probably about $1 million cheaper than the CGI effect they did in the remake.
Yeah.
Oh, it is so good. It looks so creepy. And even, I know we're not talking about the remake yet, but the thing, where it's Nancy taking a bath and the claw comes slowly out between her legs. It's the shot, you know, on her face, like between her legs. In the original, it's so slow with the claws coming out of the water.
Yeah.
But in the remake, it's first, it's just all the little touches that are like, okay, we're going to do a remake, but we're going to make it we're going to turn to 11. We're just going to amp it up a little bit. So in the remake, first the fist comes out really quickly, and then the claws come out.
Yeah.
And then he just moves towards her and then goes underwater. And it's like 7 seconds. But in the original, it's this slow, like really creepy, like sexually uncomfortable,
yeah,
you know, scene that works so much better.
And some of the cool gags in the first one are the tongue on the phone.
Yeah. That was another Never Sleep Again thing that was great, because Heather was like, I want to take this home. Like, I want this prop. the thing with the phone.
So the tongue on the phone, the stairs, when she's going up the stairs and they become like almost like it's like gum.
Yeah.
That's pretty creepy.
That is good. Another thing they did in the remake that was garbage.
Yeah. Ugh. What else? What was another gag that was great? The of course the blood spilling out was a great gag.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they had some really iconic deaths.
I do love and this got me because I have tinnitus in my ear. Mm-hmm. But part of the score, they play it up with his like claws scratching on like metal and chalkboards and stuff. But part of the score is this like tea kettle-ish, like high-pitched whine whenever he shows up, like at least the first 2 or 3 times, and it is really uncomfortable and disturbing, at least for me. But I think that was obviously the intention anyway. It's just this super high-pitched whine that's part of the score.
And also the little song that the girls are singing.
Oh, the rhyme.
Let me see if I got it. Hold on.
Coming for you.
That haunted my dreams.
So good.
Yeah.
Kids
so creepy.
Fucking singing are the worst.
yeah.
In general. Awful. But specifically when they're chanting satanic Freddy songs.
But it works so well.
Yeah.
And it builds right away with that one, like 3 sentences. It builds a mythology of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like right away.
So they went into this movie not thinking franchise, not thinking sequels, not thinking anything. And the movie ends. And Heather's mom waves. Nancy's mom waves. Nancy goes to school, and Nancy's mom's standing by the doorway, and out pops out of the little window from the door Freddy's hand and grabs her mom. Right, and that's how it ends.
And then the car.
Yeah, the car. The
hood.
The hood closes, and it's the colors of Freddy's.
The red and green.
Yeah.
Red and green.
And then they pull over, and it's the girls' jumping rope.
Yeah.
Old girls fucking that girls. Are a theme in every single movie.
Yeah.
Which is a tagged on ending.
Yeah.
That Wes Craven didn't want.
Yeah.
No, wait. He wanted the little girls.
Well,
he didn't want the car.
Because this is what left it open for a sequel.
Yeah.
Like for him, the end of the movie was Freddy
pulling
being
them
dead.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing with that is loose. So the end of the movie ends with Nancy basically just saying, this is a dream. I think the quote is, I'm not giving you, like, I'm not putting the energy in, and that's a paraphrase.
Yeah.
But like, something about I'm not putting the energy into you that
empowers you.
That empowers you or whatever. And so she just turns away, and he disintegrates.
Yeah.
Which is half works, half doesn't work or whatever. But anyway, it's the end of the movie. But Bob Shea, the producer, does not like that because he needs to build his studio and he needs sequels to this thing. So
well,
he tags on the ending that leaves it open for other things, which totally kind of devalues the end of the movie.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think it was added way later, like after it had tested well. Like it had tested really well and he knew like they had a hit.
Yeah, but still Wes Craven was totally out of it.
Yeah, and
it was not his thing. He was forced to shoot it because he didn't have the rights to the thing.
Yeah,
he sold it to New Line to make it, so he was kind of under it. But I do like, the thing is, in Never Sleep Again, he talks about how silly, everyone talks about how silly it is when her mother gets pulled in through the window.
Yeah.
Like the little thing. But I love it. When it happens on screen, I love it 100%.
I do too.
It looks silly, kind of, but also kind of like weird. It looks weird enough to be a little freaky.
Well, because they play it at a faster rate, so it doesn't look as bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So as always, we do with these series that we do, we always rate our movies based on the Letterboxd rating system, from half star to 5 stars. You can see all our ratings and all the movies we've covered at letterboxd.com. Look it up. What do you guys give this, Jenny?
5.
Hell yeah.
5.
5. 5.
I mean, this is one of my top 5 favorite horror movies.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Absolutely agree.
And it's crazy because if anyone has seen any other Nightmare on Elm Street movie, they won't believe you. Let's say they've seen any other movie and they haven't seen the first one, they would never believe you with how good it is.
Yeah.
Oh, no. In fact, like, if people who see, who are really young and who've only seen the remake or Freddy vs. Jason stuff,
yeah,
like, if you tell them, oh, watch the original, it's really, really good. It's actually really good. They're like, nah. Like, they wouldn't even bother watching it because it's like, it looks like it's going to be
Seems
cheesy.
Hokey or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it Fuck still holds noise. Up, still yeah. scary. And it's not nostalgic at all. It's not the fact that, like, oh, I saw it as a kid. No, it genuinely is a good movie.
No, that... I don't want to get off on a weird diatribe, but that thing really irks me about... Because it's all because they're physical effects. That holds up. Yeah. CG stuff never holds up. Never. Yeah. Never. It looks great today. In 3 years, it will look kind of garbagey, like the remake stuff in 2010, right? That's when the remake was done?
Yeah.
I'm sure it looked fantastic, the thing of Freddy going in through the wall. But now it looks like nonsense.
Yeah.
But the original, where it was a real thing that you can see, it looks amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll move forward to 1985. And the sequel, Wes Craven's out. He's checked out. He's not involved. They move on without him, without his consent or anything. He's in fact, they're not talking. Him and Bob Shea, the president of New Line Cinema,
creepy wannabe actor producer.
Yeah, and by this time, this movie had kind of got them out of bankruptcy. They were very close to going bankrupt.
Well, they were new. They weren't necessarily bankrupt. They were just super new.
Right before this, they were about to go to bankrupt. Yeah, because they were so new. I think the movies that they had produced prior to this, which were like 2, hadn't done well. And so they were about to close shop. I think they had this one and another movie. And this kind of like reinvigorated the studio. And they went forward with A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's...
Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge.
Freddy's Revenge. So scary.
I've been so excited to talk about this.
So they get David Chaskin, who we later find out is gay, right? Gay screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they hire him. They're like, you're the guy for the job. We're going to hire you. And he goes off, writes the script.
And fills it with, quote-unquote, subtext.
Yeah. Subtext. And the subtext is... Well, the thing is, as a writer, you write what you know, right?
Well, yeah, but...
And all his subtext was really homoerotic.
I'm straight, but that doesn't mean everything I write will have a whole bunch of fucking in it with ladies.
Well, okay, so this is the homoerotic...
And it's the mid...
Thriller.
God, there's so much in this movie to unpack. Yeah. It's the mid-80s. This is what, 1986?
5.
The year later. Okay.
Yeah.
1985.
They wasted no time in making the sequel.
No. They do it in spurts. Yeah. Like, in the series.
Isn't Mark gay as well?
Mark Patton.
Yeah.
But at the time, he was closeted.
Yeah.
At the time, he was not an out person.
Yeah. Which is such a coincidence that it just kind of happened to, like... Like,
well, there's a lot of quote-unquote coincidence in the movie. But,
yeah.
Okay, so anyway, yes. Mark Patton.
All the actors, like, they're like, I didn't realize that's what I was doing. Like, the guy who plays the coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I just thought, like, it was a cool line.
Okay,
like,
yeah. So,
you know?
So rough synopsis is that Mark Patton plays a character named Jesse,
yeah,
whose family moves into 1428 Elm Street, which is the house that Nancy lived in.
Yeah.
And what starts happening is he starts being... kind of possessed by Freddy,
yeah,
to go commit murder on people that both are part of the... here's and this is where the series starts it's weird to say this in the second movie, but this is where it starts to lose the thread of the mythology of the first one, where the idea is that he's taking revenge on the children of the people that killed him.
Yeah.
But in this one, he's both doing that and just killing people.
Yeah.
Straight
I mean,
up.
It's more so just killing people because there's really no talk of...
There parents. Isn't. I think it's like kind of insinuated, but like half-assed for sure. Yeah, yeah. So he's taking control of Jesse, who is a very sexually conflicted character in the movie.
Yeah.
And
that dance scene.
Played by Mark Patton. Oh, God. Oh, we'll talk about the dance scene.
And we should say that this is the only movie that has a male as a lead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the interesting thing is this is, as far as like slasher horror movies go, the roles are reversed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mark Patton plays what would traditionally be the female role.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the...
girlfriend?
Kim Myers. Yeah, Kim Myers plays who would traditionally be the boyfriend role.
Yeah, yeah.
And it results in a lot of hilarious things, such as Jesse running through his house to his parents, yelling, "I'm becoming Nancy." And constantly screaming, because that's the girl's role in any slasher movies. His screams are amazing. Yes. Yeah. They're great, right? I'm not criticizing them. No, they're amazing.
Hey, for a guy, he delivers the screams.
Oh, for a girl, he delivers the screams.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a scream queen.
Yeah. And so the movie's about Freddy bridging himself to the real world through the avatar of Jesse.
Yep.
And that also breaks the rules, because this is where Freddy starts becoming super silly.
Yeah.
When it comes to the real world. In dreams, it's terrifying because you're super vulnerable. But in the real world, you're just a weirdo in a sweater with knives for a right hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. And the best friend is played by a great 80s actor who I really like. He's a bunch of stuff I like. He's in Weird Science. Rob Russler. He's in this. He plays his best friend.
Oh, yeah.
There's some pretty cool death scenes in this, I will say. But
he gets really short shrifted, though. Yeah. And he was pissed about it.
Yeah. 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 But let's talk about the dance scene.
Okay. So Risky Business was a big thing at the time.
Yeah.
It had just made a shitload of money. So, like, okay. And this is a through line through a lot of these movies. But also, I have to plead ignorance. I don't know a lot about slasher horror, you know, and the production of it. I know a lot of it is really reactionary, like, to things that are happening at the time. So this is not out of the question that they'd be like, oh, Risky Business, there was a great dance scene in it, let's do that here. But what they didn't expect is that not only was the actor, Mark Patton, who played Jesse, not, you know, an out actor, he was gay at the time, but the production designer was also gay.
Yeah.
And there are things in that scene. So his dad is yelling at him to unpack his room.
Yeah.
So he's like pissed at his dad. And so he starts like unpacking his room and he's like, take that, dad, just like dumping a box into a drawer. But he pulls out a board game called Probe.
Yep.
And takes out a piece of it, right? Or is it like a slide whistle? I feel like it's like one of those like slide whistles you get at a novelty store that he uses as a microphone.
Yeah. It's very phallic-y.
Oh, yeah. Super phallic-y. And starts singing to, oh, God, what's the song? It's Wiz. Oh, who is it? Damn it. I can't remember who the name is. I thought I had it written down. But anyway, he starts singing this like super 80s song.
Yeah.
And
it's Touch Me All Night Long.
Touch Me All Night Long by Wiz and something LaFonda, I think.
Oh, LaFonda Ray.
LaFonda Ray.
Wow.
That's it. And he's like holding it to his crotch and like swirling it around.
And
like,
he's kind of humming the air. He's humming the air, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But by air, you mean the penis that he's making out of the object in his hands.
Yes, yes, yes. But he's using the phallic symbol to fuck the air.
Right? Yes.
But rewatching it, it's funny for a totally different reason now. Like, as a kid, it was still scary to me. Like, because I remember seeing this next and I'm being like, I don't want to be fucking possessed by Freddy.
He's not possessed yet, so what was so scary about it?
Huh? What?
He's not possessed yet in the movie, so what's so scary about it?
No, I didn't want to be possessed by Freddy.
I know, but he's not possessed in the movie. By the time he does the dance scene, he's never been possessed by Freddy.
Yes, but he did have that really creepy scene where Freddy pulls his head off, or his top of his scalp off, and he's like, "You've got the body, I've got the brain," and he shows him his brain. That's already been shown.
Oh, that's true.
So some of the cool deaths.
Were there cool deaths in this one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which ones?
The scene where Freddy is coming out of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is incredible. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. That scene is amazing, where his fingers are splitting and like the claws are coming out.
Yeah.
And like he like comes out of his head and chest.
Well, they spent like 11 weeks or something on that.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. But it looks incredible. It looks really good. He unfortunately leaves Jesse's body to go interrupt a pool party.
Yeah. God.
That was so weird.
He just starts trashing the party. It's not even like scary. He just starts throwing shit on the ground.
You are all my children.
Yeah.
That's what he says to the residents of the pool party, who, if they all had a clue and were like, "Who is this fucking asshole? Let's all take him." And then, he'd be dead in seconds.
Yeah. Like, who invited Cobra Commander? Yeah. So he goes and he's just a dick. He's a dick party goer. He goes and he's knocking over things.
We are jumping so far ahead of the interesting stuff in the movie, though. Can we talk more about the gay stuff in the movie?
Well, the death of the coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So here's. But even before that, so my first thing about I didn't know anything about it. I'm not like, I don't know a lot about slasher films or anything. I didn't know much of anything about this series, but watching this movie, the first thing that got my attention was when the coach's punishment is just them like holding their butts in the air on the field. Like that's their punishment for malfeasance on the team, is like they just have to sit there like up in the up like push-up position with their butts in the air. And then one of his friend Ronnie is like, "Yeah, he gets his rocks." So, like, he makes a comment about it. I'm like, "I don't know what's happening here." And then the coach's death. So, okay, not only. So, Jesse also, when he's possessed by Freddy, he's always shirtless, save for a button down draped over his shoulders.
Of course.
Of course. What I thought was a dream sequence was actually reality when he goes to the gay bar to find his coach.
Yeah.
Who I guess we find out he does actually make them stick their butts up in the air for a reason, because he actually is gay.
Yeah.
Is in like a leather boy outfit.
Yeah.
And great cameo by the bartender, producer Robert Shea, by the way.
Yeah.
And
he's like, this is the part I want to give myself.
Well, yeah, he wanted to act in the movie so bad, and everyone was like, "Well, here, you could play this gay bartender.
You'd be the leather daddy."
Yeah. And so then the coach finds him in the gay bar, and his punishment is that the coach is taking him back to the school. He has to run laps around the gym, and then after that, he's like, "Hit the showers." So we're on the road, right?
Yeah.
And then in the showers is when Freddy possesses him, and then starts wet towel whipping the coach in the butt.
Yeah.
Some S&M stuff, like over and over.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you so far. Then,
so then he kills the coach.
And he ties him up. He ties up the coach, and he's like just whipping him to death.
His butt. Specifically his butt. Yeah. He's not whipping him. It's his butt.
Yeah.
100%.
That's the most painful part of the body. He's...
He doesn't whip anything besides his
butthole. Yeah, this movie gets out of hand really fast.
And then, probably the gayest part, though, is when...
We haven't gotten there?
So he's supposed to... Kim Myers, that's his love interest in the movie.
Yeah.
But their charisma is totally of, you know...
He's got more charisma.
Fag hag and best bud, right?
Yeah. And he's got more chemistry with Rob Russell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's the part where he's afraid to go to sleep, and he leaves her house, right?
Yeah.
And he runs to his friends and says, "I'm scared. Can I? I'm scared. Can you like make sure I don't go to sleep?" And then Rob Russell is like, "Wait, you left your girlfriend's house to come sleep with me?"
This makes no fucking sense. But all right.
Oh no! Wait, sorry. I have the quote written down. Jesse says, "Something is trying to get inside my body."
Well, clearly.
And then Rob says, "And you want to sleep with me?" But all that said, it works so well, like as a metaphor, like especially for being gay at that time and being afraid of like the feelings that you had.
Yeah.
Like that's why I love the movie, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't work as part of the series just because it's not. It doesn't fall in with the rest of the movies. Like it's clearly out of place.
That's a good question though, because you say that, but that's only because of the first movie.
Yeah.
Most of the movies though fall in line with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean they broke a lot of rules. I mean the rule they broke is that he's out in the real world.
Right.
And that's not a rule they break.
But
after
like
that.
Most of the movies okay, have Freddy him doing Jason. That, right?
Yeah.
So isn't that the MO of the whole thing?
I don't know. I just don't know. This isn't my least favorite of the bunch, but it's definitely not my favorite.
It's up there.
It's not your least favorite?
No. Yeah. Mm. Rewatching this, I didn't have a problem. Other ones, I was like, oh my God, I have to rewatch this one.
My favorite thing from Never Sleep Again, by the way, about like the actors in this movie, is someone saying, we were looking for the best actors, period.
We don't care who they were.
Yeah, we were looking for the best ones.
Period.
Like, not anyone who's making a movie would say that.
Yeah.
We're looking for, you know, second best.
Yeah.
Shitty. One step above shitty.
So, the end? Well, what's the end?
What is the end of this one?
Do you remember, Kevin? This was the first one I watched before I started rewatching, because this one came on Netflix first, so I got this one out of the way.
Sorry, another good quote from Never Sleep Again is, this is the Top Gun of horror franchise films. And Clue Gallagher, we have to give a shout out from Clue Gallagher being in Los Angeles. If you've ever been to the New Beverly, you've probably seen Clue Gulager,
yeah,
who plays the dad in the movie at least once or twice.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I don't know, I never got a blowjob on the set or anything.
Yeah. That was his
that was his response to, do you think the movie has homosexual overtones? Yeah.
He's like, I didn't see any benefits.
I didn't get a blowjob. Yeah.
The girl, his girlfriend kills him. Kim kills Freddy. And he's burnt because she burns Freddy.
Oh, she kisses him. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, doesn't she burn him at one point too?
No, she kisses him to awake the Jesse. Beneath
like
Freddy.
A Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah,
and also
she's playing the man role.
For some reason, they're in like this like steel mill at the end.
Well,
of the
that's
movie.
Where he took
yeah the boiler. Yeah.
That's where he took the kids.
Yeah, so she kisses him, awakens the young boy in him, and they go off. He wakes up the next day. They get on the bus, and the bus...
It's like his dream at the beginning.
Goes straight to hell. It literally goes straight to hell, and Freddy's driving. And that's how it ends, right?
Yes.
Freddy's revenge. What's your rating, Jenny?
One, I hated this one.
Yeah.
This is the worst one for me.
I feel like I need to give it a higher rating, because the more I think about it, the more I love what it did. You know what
the
I mean?
The more I talk about it, the less I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got some awesome Freddy lines in it, but...
But overall...
Who does he call a bitch? I can't remember.
Probably the guy. It's like, stop yelling, you bitch. So what do you give this rating? Come on. Don't fucking... You're like stalling.
What do you give
me?
It? Yeah, what are you going to give it? Letterboxd rating.
2.5.
Wow, that's really low for saying you liked it.
Well, because the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, I love all the messages that they tried to build into the movie. As a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, I don't necessarily enjoy it. But for everything else, I do love what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
At least the screenwriter.
The subtext?
3.
He could have done it in a different movie.
3.
Yeah, he could have done his own movie. So
this
2.5.
Is the mid-80s.
2.5.
No one would watch
it. Are you sticking with 2.5?
No. No, I'm sticking with 3. 3.
Oh, my God.
3.
What would you give it, Kevin?
I'm going to give it 2.5.
Oh, okay. Are you going to shit on his choice then?
He was saying he was surprised you didn't give it more because you liked it so much.
I just love the things. I don't know. It's hard.
He wants to give it a 5 now.
Yeah.
It's his favorite one.
I'm going to give it a 1.
You know what? In a weird way, it might be my favorite one.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
Brandon gave it a 5. Yeah.
So you gave it a
3.
2.5.
2.5. I'm going to give it a 1. because I need space for to give half star to later movies.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Well, we'll get to it.
This one so much.
Listen, gay people can marry. That's the way it is.
We're not arguing about it.
They are people too. That's what the entire movie's about. So I don't know how you're not arguing about
it. I don't think that's what they were trying to say.
Oh my God. Everything in the movie. Do I need to go through the full list of things?
Please don't do it again. I'm good. All right, number 3.
So that leads us to
the coach is attacked by his own balls in the gym.
That is true.
When he dies.
That's true. Let's move on to 3. Dream Warriors. Okay. So Freddy 2, was it what year again? Sorry.
85. This is 87.
87. 2 years later, they regrouped and said, what the fuck did we do wrong?
Well, we got rid of Nancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We got to bring her back. We got to bring back John Saxon and his cool wigs. Let's bring back
Heather Langenkamp.
Huh?
Heather Langenkamp.
Is she in 3?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's Nancy.
She's older, though.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
They try to
older as in like 4 years.
Yeah.
And, but like she's not a kid anymore. Yeah.
And they like try to put a little gray in her hair.
Yeah.
Whoa, 4 years.
She's like rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, a thing she doesn't have when she's 30 in New Nightmare. Yeah.
Well, she took on Freddy's power and, you know, like Magneto gave her that streak. So 1987, 2 years later. 2 years later, they regroup. They hired Chuck Russell, director of The Mask.
Well, you have to start off by saying they brought Wes back. Wes actually started working on the script.
On the story.
He wrote the original screenplay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this is the one that Frank Darabont worked on a draft of this.
Mm-hmm.
He was friends with Chuck Russell. They had done Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, I think, together. Yeah. So they start working together and, actually I enjoy this movie a lot.
This one's great.
I like this one a lot.
Yeah.
As far as the ones where it's super cartoony and crazy, this one's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have, Patricia Arquette is in this one.
It was awesome.
Really young Patricia Arquette playing,
her first movie.
Kristen.
Yeah.
And, Freddy kind of possesses her or takes a hold of her in her dream. And makes her kind of... Well, he slashes at her wrists, but she wakes up and she's actually cutting her wrist.
Well, she's another child of Elm Street. Yeah. She's another child of a person who burned... This is when they're still continuing all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so her mom puts her in a, like, institution, you know, to watch over her.
With other children of Elm Street.
Yeah, yeah. And... This is where they get the gang together. You know what I mean? The Dream Gang.
The Dream Warriors.
Yeah, the Dream Warriors. And then you have...
Isn't it Dokken that did the soundtrack? Yes, Dokken did the theme song. You have to cut this in. Yeah.
I'll cut it.
You have to cut in the theme song to Dokken. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because the music video is amazing. The song is pretty good. As far as like a mid-80s theme song, it's amazing.
And this is when Freddy Krueger started kind of like... seeping into like pop culture, like this is the beginning of it. I think more so in 4 and 5 maybe, but this is when
I think
it
the
started.
Success of this one made that happen.
Because this one kind of was
not when it was made, but after this.
Yeah, and this one was cool because it did have like a very diverse, cool quote unquote at the time, like stereotypical teenagers.
They
had a black dude. That's big.
Yeah.
And he didn't die.
And he didn't die.
That's true. He didn't die.
That's awesome.
Not yet.
There's a few people that didn't die.
No, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So what? Give us a synopsis of this one, Kevin.
You already did.
He did?
You literally just did.
Oh, did I?
Yep.
I was in the moment. Okay, I'm sorry.
They go to the asylum.
They go to the asylum. Yeah.
Nancy finds him in the asylum.
Yes.
Because she's a psychology student,
I guess. Yes.
It's a little unclear.
Yeah. And then this one, you find out where Freddy came from. Like his childhood.
A little bit.
You find out that
it's changed a lot. But
they kind of changed it to fit the movie that they're doing at the time.
Yeah,
but
a little bit.
In this one, the head like a doctor psychologist. He finds he keeps seeing this like nun, right? Is that how it goes? He finally tracks her down. She's in part of the wing that's closed down.
Amy Krueger, is that her name?
His mom.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, and it turns out that Freddy's mom was she was kind of a nurse at this institution for the mentally insane and you know, where they put criminally insane people.
Yeah.
And they accidentally leave her through the weekend. The inmates hide her and they keep her through the weekend, and she is raped by everybody in that wing. And Freddy's born out of that. So Freddy's the son of a thousand psychopaths, basically. And
she's like Mariska Hargitay on SVU. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That's from our studio audience.
Yeah. And then the nun says, to kill Freddy, you got to find his remains and bury him in hollow ground.
Like at a cemetery where a church is. That's sacred ground.
Hallowed ground.
Hallowed ground.
So some of the cool deaths.
I'm sorry. Have you not seen Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows?
No, fuck that. I fucking hate Harry Potter. Jenny, some of the cool deaths in this?
Oh, yeah. This one had like all the best deaths.
Oh, the not TV. The best, but this one. Oh, Welcome to Prime Time, bitch.
Yeah,
which
TV.
Is improvised by Robert Englund.
Yeah.
The original line was so clunky. I can't remember what it is. In Never Sleep Again, they say what the line is. It's like
something about our 15 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, your 15 minutes
are
up.
Yeah, or like, you know, bitch. Now you're in TV. Like, it's something so terrible. But Welcome to Prime Time, bitch.
That was a good line.
It
was
good. The Puppet Master guy.
Yeah. He pulls like his kind of like his veins or something.
Yeah.
Tendons.
Or like nerves or something.
And starts
using him to control him.
Yeah, dancing him like on the ledge of the building.
Yeah. And then everyone sees him.
Like,
fall.
And then Freddy cuts the cords and then he just fucking falls. That's scary.
See, and that's the perfect line between like silly and
scary.
Yeah.
And then you had
Taryn's death is pretty cool, where it shows like
the
wounds.
Oh, the puckers. The heroin hole puckers.
All his fingers are needles, and he just sticks them in her arm.
That's a good one too.
Yeah,
because she had a in Never Sleep Again. They talk about her original death was like her head explodes.
Yeah,
but it's so much more effective in the movie of her like overdose. Like,
oh yeah, totally.
Just him making her overdose is really kind of sincere and serious for the movie, and it feels super real.
And Kristen's mom kind of has like a drinking problem too. Like they kind of hint at that a little bit.
Well, I mean that's like Wes's thing.
Oh, they don't hint at it. They 100% telegraph it.
They knock it over.
Yeah, they knock it over your head. Yeah,
with the booze.
Almost as much as the first movie, where Nancy's mom like is put into an alcoholic coma. You know what I mean? Like, you know, paralleling her own fear of sleep.
Locked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where she's like, you know, her boyfriend or whatever is over, and she's like, "Oh, you got to go to sleep. You know, he's here. I don't want to be rude."
Well, my boyfriend's
Patricia
over.
Arquette.
Yeah. And then what was another death? Oh, was this the first one that had a nudity? The first night, because the first one didn't really. The second one didn't. This one has nurse boobs. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
The nurse seduces the young kid. Which that I don't know. He was 18, man. I don't know the rules about that, but she definitely took her top off and was on top of him. I don't know if the actress was.
It was the 80s, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Tits are everywhere.
Yeah. But
I was like seven.
But she's
I saw tits all over the place.
She's kissing him, and she like pulls his tongue out and wraps his legs. Oh, it's pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
We totally skipped over the Dick Cavett cameo.
Oh yeah,
that's right. During the Welcome to Prime Time bit.
And Zsa Zsa Gabor.
When the one girl's watching the television, it's Dick Cavett, and that's my favorite by far. My favorite anecdote from Never Sleep Again. Where Dick Cavett did it because they told him, you can have any guest you want. And he picked a Zsa Zsa Gabor because he said, there's no one more stupid than Zsa Zsa Gabor, and he would never have her on his show. So he's going to have her killed in the movie.
What's another death?
There's the Wizard Master, which is like the proto Harry Potter kid.
Yeah, was he in a wheelchair?
Yes, he's in a wheelchair. But he does look a lot like Harry Potter ends up looking like, with the circular glasses and the robe and everything.
I wonder if
he's a kid who plays D&D.
If she's a fan of this movie, maybe.
Who? J.K. Rowling?
Yeah.
I don't think she gives two shits about this. But
maybe. You don't know. You don't know that.
Doubtful.
I mean, she loves Freddy.
Why'd you ask?
Dream Warriors. and then you have Kincaid. Kincaid's badass, right?
His dream ability where he's got strength.
Yeah. Just kicking people's asses.
Yeah, I did like how they all got abilities in their dreams. Yeah. They were all like what they wanted to be.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
It was like their inner strength.
Yeah.
I liked it was early on, but with Patricia Arquette, the snake thing. It was the first time Freddy took a different form. You know what I mean? Like kind of a Beetlejuicy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or like he just took the form of like a dream kind of monster thing.
Yeah.
And he was what they describe in Never Sleep Again as being hyperphallic.
Yeah.
That they changed in the movie to make it a little less penis-like.
Yeah.
But still very penis-like.
Yeah.
Where he's the snake monster that eats her.
And I forgot to mention Lawrence Fishburne plays...
No. Larry Fishburne.
Larry Fishburne.
As credited in the movie. Yeah. Little Larry Fishburne.
Larry Fishburne plays...
I'm sure he's like 25, but he looks like he's 50.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He plays the orderly in the movie. Well, just remembering, Lawrence Fishburne played Cuba Gooding's dad in Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
He's always looked 50.
But he was probably like 2 years older than Cuba Gooding at the time.
Yeah. Furious. So I enjoyed this movie a lot. It was fun rewatching it. Patricia Arquette is really good in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no complaints about this movie. Do you guys want to move on? How does this movie end?
So they have to, the doctor and Nancy's dad go to find his remains so they can bury them. They fight with the skeleton. Nancy and the kids.
At the Harryhausen thing, yeah.
Her dad dies, and so Freddy pretends to be him in the dream, and he ends up killing Nancy. They end up burying his remains. Everything's good. And it ends at Nancy's funeral, where we find out that Amanda Krueger, the nun this whole time, was Amanda Krueger.
Yeah.
And we find out that that's Freddy's mom. And... oh, the doctor has a dream, and that's how they carry the movie on, because Freddy appears in his dream.
In his dream, yeah.
And I think we should note that each of these movies that we talked about have been more successful than the last.
Yeah.
Like, that's why, which is weird. It's weird that you have the first one, which works on every level. Everything that it's trying to do, it works 100%. And it's successful. It makes... $25 million out of 1.8 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the next one makes 29.
Yeah. And well, then let's not move ahead.
No, and then Dream Warriors, Freddy's Revenge makes 29.
Yeah.
Dream Warriors makes 44. Like, they keep making buco bucks.
So they keep making the movies.
But they keep changing. I just think it's interesting that they keep also changing them. In fundamental ways.
They don't stamp out the same product.
Yeah, as much as you could argue that they're milking their brand, you know?
They try to do something different.
But they keep changing it, you know? Even if it's going into more a cartoony, less scary route, they do keep changing it, and it keeps being successful. So how can you blame them when it all goes tits up later in the series?
Yeah. So Dream Warrior, Jenny, what do you rate this?
4.5.
Yeah. Whoa.
Specific.
I like this one.
Yeah.
This one is fun.
Brandon?
This one is fun. 4.
Yeah.
I give it a 4.
Yeah. I give it 4. 4 stars for me. And that moves us to... where are we now?
The fourth one?
Fourth one. What year are we at, Jenny? Do you know?
It is 1988. The Dream Master.
The Dream Master.
Yes.
When I first started this, for some weird reason, I thought they had replaced everybody.
I did too. After I saw that they replaced the one girl, I was like, what?
Everyone? I thought they were all different.
I did too.
Like, I didn't, for some reason, even though literally I watched them back to back, I did not realize that who's the same. Kincaid's the same.
Yep. Yes, and Joey.
The black guy, Joey. Yeah, yeah. Both of them don't last very long.
Right.
But they're both in the movie.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kincaid brings forth the resurrection of Freddy,
which is
through the weirdest thing.
So,
who wants to talk about that?
Kevin, a dog.
A dog. Urinating
fire.
Urinating fire. Yeah.
For some reason, that's a spice.
Onto Freddy's hellish grave.
Yeah.
Wait, awake, why was he urinating fire?
We don't know that.
Yeah, there's really no explanation behind that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because Rennie Harlan was like, I like dogs.
And I like
that
fire.
Was his thing in Never Sleep Again. He was like,
that's right.
If you want to really read into it, you know, you could look at like Cerebus, who's the guardian of hell, but I call bullshit on all that because none of it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they bring in Rennie Harlan. He's a Finnish director. He's done like 3 movies at the time. And he's kind of like, he's like the Michael Bay of his time. Wouldn't
you
say?
The youth conduit.
Yeah. Like he's doing music videos at the time, and they're like, let's bring this guy to put in a lot of fast cuts and, you know, just spruce it up, bring in some monster energy.
Well, that's
drinks.
Giving too much credit to the producers. I think they're just like,
we
need to make sure that they'll be cheap and they reach a young audience.
Yeah. So they bring in Rennie, and he's got problems right away, right? Rennie,
because there's no script.
Yep.
A script that he's kind of writing as he goes making the movie.
Yeah. But he makes it work. I will say, I don't hate this movie for one reason. There's nunchucks in it.
You have to remember an Oscar winner was part of the screenwriting process.
Brian Helgeland?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Helgeland wrote the original screenplay for this.
Yeah.
Or at least the story. I mean, who knows how the WGA arbitration works.
And who knows what part of the process he came in.
Yeah. I imagine very little.
Yeah. So what's the synopsis of this? So he's resurrected. Kincaid dies right away.
Most of all the characters from the previous film, Dream Warriors, are in this to some degree.
Yeah.
Except for the black girl who's from summer school.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I know her from.
Yeah.
The pregnant girl? Wasn't she the pregnant girl from summer school?
Wait, you're thinking of, she's in Dream Child.
Oh, you're right.
There is a black girl on this one, but it's
exactly,
not the one you're thinking of.
Like Jenny, we texted before this. We get these and the next movie confused a lot.
These two I'm having a hard time with.
Yeah. 4 and 5 get confused quite a bit for me. Yeah.
5 I don't like. Freddy's Dead I don't like. But let's talk
about that's 6.
No, that's 6.
Whoa. I'm sorry.
You're skipping over Dream Child.
Sorry.
Dream Master and Dream Child.
Yeah. Someone a little confused.
Yeah.
Someone doesn't know what comes after what.
Dream Master.
Oh, every week.
You are confused all the time. The Dream Master. There's nunchucks. Yep. Let's talk some
of the deaths. Let's talk more about the nunchucks. Yep.
Yeah. There's a dojo scene in this that I'm excited about.
That scene is okay. This is from Never Sleep Again, the documentary. Again, that's one of my favorite things is that they filmed that dojo scene, the death scene, because they had no money. Because the original conceptualized sequence of like an elevator and like the bottom floor dropping out and dropping into hell or whatever, like they didn't have any money for it, so they built a shitty like pseudo Japanese like bedroom,
which basically looks like a massage parlor. Yeah. They just draped some cloth and like
it looks like a shitty late 90s massage parlor.
Put a gi on him,
and make him do like roundhouse punches and kicks.
Yeah,
even though I believe he actually went and trained to learn some martial arts.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, just punch the air. You don't have to do anything.
He literally, Freddy's invisible in this movie.
Yes. Yeah, and he's nowhere to be found in the scene.
Yeah. This is where he gets crazy.
But I love it.
Yeah.
I kind of love it.
Yeah. So what is the storyline, Kevin?
So basically, Freddy comes back. I mean, now Kristen's technically she's like the last child of Elm Street, but he's coming back in a way to get his revenge on her. Yeah. And she's got a whole new group of friends.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the death scenes and move on.
Some of the death scenes are amazing.
Yeah.
The scene where... Oh, fuck. I think I'm going to get mixed up with the next one.
The bug one.
Yes.
This is the bug one.
This is the bug one?
The bug one, yeah.
Bug one is great.
She's working out, and he breaks her hands.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she grows like...
No, he doesn't break her hands. It's her elbows.
Yeah.
Sorry,
her elbows snap back as she's doing push-ups on the barbells.
Yeah. And then cockroach hands come out of her hands.
Yeah.
Her elbows. And then she goes into the cockroach glue trap. And that's
the roach motel.
It's gross. This is a gross scene. And like how they did the back projection so you could see like someone looking into it. Ah, it's gross, guys. I don't want to talk about this. This also has the pizza scene where the
you can check in, but you can't check out. That's what he says during the Roach Motel thing. The pizza thing, that might be my favorite like cartoonish thing they did in the entire series, is the pizza thing.
Where
the guy's head is a meatball on this pizza that he stabs. And when he stabs, the effect when he stabs it is like, it reminds me of in Big Trouble in Little China when he stabs the like eyeball monster, you know, and they like, and he like freezes. Like that's the thing it feels. And he eats it and he's like, soul food. The best. So good. So stupid good.
What's another death scene in this?
What is the other death
scene? So of course the dojo is one of them.
The dojo.
The elevator turns into the dojo.
Yeah. Which I feel like they had to keep themselves all the time from putting in the vapors, turning Japanese from any scene in the movie. I don't know when that song came out. It might have been later 80s. I have a feeling it's like 83.
Kevin, do you know the song that plays on this when like he's training with the nunchucks?
I don't.
And then who's the lead girl? I'm a little confused. I'm a little
okay. Brandon. It was originally Kristen, but her best friend Alice turns into the lead girl.
Yes,
and she's the lead girl in the next two.
So basically, Freddy can only technically haunt the Elm Street kids, so he forces Kristen to bring Alice into her dream, so he can start haunting. He can start going after new kids. Kristen dies. She passes her powers on to Alice.
Yeah. So
Alice gets everybody's powers after that.
Yeah.
In a weird scene where, like, she dies and, like, shoots her powers into the other girl. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, she's going into a furnace. I can't remember exactly what it is. But, like, she extends her hand and shoots all of her power force.
That's how it works.
Her soul force. Yeah.
That's how it works.
She Hayukens straight into the other girl. Yeah.
So her brother dies in the dojo, Rick, and then she's kind of in his room, kind of like just sitting there. And what's the song that starts playing? You don't know the name of the song.
No.
And then she grabs the nunchucks, and she's never used the nunchucks before, and she starts kind of like she starts kind of like just playing with them, and all of a sudden it's about shot from the back. My favorite shot
with
the
a terrible
movie.
Wig.
Yeah, and she starts fucking doing the fucking nunchuck moves, and you're like, yeah, she's gonna fucking kick Freddy's ass. She's gonna nunchuck the shit out of him. Yeah. The song's playing because he trains with that song, so you know it's a callback. But how does he kill her? How does he kill Freddy at the end?
I can't remember. In this one. See, this is the one I get mixed up all the time with the next movie.
Yeah.
How does he kill her in this one? Or how does Freddy die in this one?
We're really prepared. We're really prepared for this one, guys.
I don't know this. I don't like this one.
Yeah, this one's not good.
Yeah.
Should we move on? For all the cartoonish shit, this one is not good.
Yeah.
Okay, for the first and only time, someone defeats Freddy by using the power of the spell to make him see the evil that is
inside. Oh, no, that's what how he does.
Yes.
So she breaks. So they're in the church, right?
Yeah.
And it's like the 80s kung fu thing.
Yes. And she's doing like cartwheels and stuff in the church, and it's really weird.
And she takes. Yeah, I remember when I watched this, I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Doesn't she show
takes
a mirror?
Yes, she takes a piece of stained glass, which functions as a mirror, and like shines it on him. And it blows him apart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's all, no, my face is ugly.
But in Never Sleep Again, in the documentary, someone says that the reason he dies is God is filling her with ecstatic grace. And I call bullshit on that 100% because none of that is telegraphed in the thing.
No.
Is this the one with the kids that are like singing that? Or not singing, but doing the prayer.
I think that's the next one.
With the glass? With the mirror?
Oh, because they also have... She has that like weird sonic bomb that the nerd made.
Oh, yeah.
But then she plugs it in. It doesn't make any sense. It's like supposed to be a sonic bomb, right? It's like it produces like high-pitched noises. But then she plugs it into like the electrics, and it shoots this like beam of energy that doesn't make any sense at the time.
It's music energy, dude. Come on. Makes sense.
It's what would it be? It's Simple Minds. She's like shooting Simple Minds straight into his brain. But I will say for this movie, the effect of the like souls of him coming out of him, like the people escaping from him that Rennie Harlan does is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That stuff is so cool. There's the shot in Never Sleep Again, he talks about it. They built like a 3-story Freddy chest for like actual people to be like coming out of his chest. And there's the shot of the like topless woman like pushing her way out of the chest. And it works so well.
Yeah.
Like of her pushing out. But then even the prosthetic stuff of him afterwards, that's all animatronic. That's like there's like half of his head separating and then like the little weird heads popping out. It's awesome. It looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an awesome death.
And so he...
And it's Freddy's death.
Yeah.
It's the souls that he's consumed from the children escaping his body that forces him to die.
Yeah. And so this one, he dies. And then... is this one where she's like... She has a kid at the end?
No.
No.
No. No.
That's how the next one
starts. Spoiler.
Spoiler alerts. So Freddy dies. And that's the end of the Dream Master.
Yes. So let's do some...
Some rating? What's your rating?
2. Yep.
Brendan, what is your rating on this?
1.7.
Okay. You can't give that, but you give 1.5.
Are you sponsored by Letterboxd yet?
Yes. In my head, I am.
1.7.
Wait, did we talk about the waterbed scene?
No, we did not. Oh. Joey's death.
Joey's death.
Oh, that's in this one?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about.
We forgot about that part.
Yeah, the waterbed scene is actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Let's talk about the waterbed scene.
So there's like a chick swimming in his bed, naked.
Like,
we see boobs.
Oh, yeah. This is
how is this boobs. For a wet dream?
Yeah, then Freddy jumps out of the thing.
Yeah. And kills him. Sucks him in. Sucks and drowns him.
Drowns him, but there's blood.
I know.
When you drown, isn't there any, there's no blood, right?
Well, unless he stabbed him from the inside.
I guess he's, with
tiny little knives.
So the waterbed's full of blood.
So he kind
of... And then his mom finds him in the waterbed.
Like
dead.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thing.
This guy was so high, he went into the waterbed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
There's
a cool
also
thing.
A pretty cool beach scene before Kristen dies.
Oh, that, like the Jaws style
yeah.
one. Yeah. Yeah. Where she gets sucked into the sand.
He like, yeah, and he like does the Jaws style and then the goes through castle. The castle and the sandcastle explodes.
And he appears.
Yeah, and you're like, what?
That was a pretty cool scene.
That one's okay, yeah.
But
sorry,
yeah.
I forgot about those.
No. That it's good that we brought them up.
So, yeah. 2, he gave it a 1.7. You gave.
I'm going to give it a 3.
3.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to give it a 2.5. Because this was...
All right.
The nunchuck scene made it for me.
Yeah.
After this, that's all I talked about. And I'm still talking about it. Like, I bugged my dad for the nunchucks. And he's like, I can't buy you nunchucks. You're going to poke somebody's eye out. You're going to knock somebody and break their nose or something. So that takes us to the next one. Jenny, do you know what year this is?
I had it. Oh, 89. The Dream Child.
So it takes us 89 and Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. Kevin, can you give us a little synopsis on this?
So Dan and Alice return because they get together at the end of the last one. Basically, they're graduating from high school. We find out after Dan gets killed that Alice is pregnant with Dan's child. And Freddy...
It's a boy!
And Freddy is, in a way, haunting the dreams of the child, her unborn child.
Somehow. He's not even born, and he's already haunting.
When she goes, wait a minute, nurse, can babies dream? Or unborn babies dream? It's that whole scene.
Yeah, this is a weird one. This is the one that deals with abortion in a lot of weird different ways.
Yeah.
It is both pro-choice, but also kind of pro-life in the idea that a fetus dreams.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, all right.
Because it has a lot of pro-choice stuff in the event of like, you know, well, she's kind of figuring it out, but also the idea that a fetus can dream.
And that
kind of is pro-life.
Yeah.
If by kind of you mean 100%.
And then it gets weird because I think Dan dies and then Dan's mom really wants the kid. And she's like,
yes, they offer to adopt the child.
Just give me the kid.
Yeah. Well, it's her parents or grandparents.
No, it's Dan's
parents.
It's Dan's parents.
Oh,
after Dan dies.
It's her grandparents. This is what I'm talking about half paying attention.
We should say that Rennie Harlan went from A Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Master to Die Hard Part 2. And this director, Steve Hopkins, went from Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Child to Predator 2. Coincidence? Ooh.
The lesser of the two comparisons.
Hey, I'm just saying, like, they both went on to do sequels to big action movies of the
80s. I'm not a big fan of Die Hard 2, but Predator 2.
I love Predator 2. What are you talking about?
So much worse than Die Hard 2.
I'd rather watch Predator 2 than Die Hard 2.
You're a piece of shit.
Predator 2 is awesome. It's got Danny Glover. It's got Bill Paxton. It's in the future.
Bruce Willis? Bruce Willis? Present day?
Not interested. I mean, I love Die Hard, but it's no Predator 2. Come on. So some of the cool death scenes in this. What do we got? Does anybody remember?
I'm sorry.
The crazy Freddy baby is freaky as fuck. Can we all agree
on
that?
Oh, yeah. He's creepy.
She should abort that, at least. The Freddy baby.
There we go.
You said it. I'm sorry.
Oh, the motorcycle death.
Oh, is that this one?
That's amazing. And it's totally subdued. So apparently this one, and this is actually the interesting part of the movie, is that all the deaths were cut short to appease the MPAA.
Oh.
Which
flat
out would not happen today because they are all about violence as opposed to sex.
Yeah.
So, like, today, I think everything that they had in this movie would be fine. 100% fine.
But if they had a booby, then they'd be upset.
Exactly.
It's weird. But back then, they were okay with nudity, but not okay with violence.
Right. It's weird. But, like, in this one, this is, again, from Never Sleep Again, but they have all these shots in the motorcycle scene of, like, there's a shot of, basically, the motorcycle that he's riding, like, becomes him. Like, it envelops him.
A Freddy bike.
Yeah, the cables from it come and enter, like, all of his fingers and, like, slowly go up his arm. And there's a shot of the cables, like, going into his calf. But in the unedited version, you actually see it, like, go into his body. But they made them cut it down to where you just see, like, start to enter and then it cuts away. But even in the finished version, it's still pretty brutal.
Yeah.
You know, as far as it goes, I wish it was the unedited version, but as far as it is, it still looks awesome. Like, the effects work is brilliant on it.
Yeah.
Especially the final stuff of him as the motorcycle, like, riding through to, like, his ultimate death.
This one got a little, I would say this one and the last one got a little crazy. Like, with the death.
Oh, they get a lot crazy.
This one has the comic book one, too.
Yeah.
Oh. Comic book death. The Take on Me stuff.
Yeah.
All the Take on Me stuff. Yeah.
Is this the one also where he is, like, making out with the black girl and then sucks the life out of her? Or is that the one?
No, that was in the one before because she has asthma.
Yeah. Sorry.
This is the one where she's the diver and he comes to get her.
Oh, yeah.
Which apparently during that scene she had food poisoning. Never Sleep Again will tell you.
And she pooped the pool?
She just had a hard time filming because she had food poisoning while she was filming it. Yeah, all the dive board scenes.
Wow.
Eva Brown, the girl from Summer School.
That lasts like a day, though. Couldn't they be like, we'll get...
Food poisoning fucking sucks, Jenny. When was the last time you had food poisoning?
I know, but I'm saying...
Stop
they film it the next day?
Stop obfuscating.
Give her a day off.
When was the last time you had food poisoning?
It's been like maybe a year or two. Can't they give her a day off and come back the next day?
No, this is low budget.
I feel like it's worse to film someone where they're not giving it their best.
Well.
So moral of the story
is... I would love to live in your world.
Don't go to work.
If you have food poisoning.
If you get the boops.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. I think that's a great moral of the story.
They should have built that into the movie, frankly.
Yeah.
Well,
if she just shit all over herself on top of the diving board.
Yeah.
Right before she did the triple Lindy or whatever she was going to do.
And Freddy's like, someone needs Imodium AD.
All right. So something about the kid and the kid becoming Freddy.
Yeah. The kid.
And that Freddy wants the kid.
He wants to like take over his body, right?
To
live in the real world.
What was that kid in, by the way? Does anyone know? He was still a kid in another iconic scene.
Pet Sematary?
Do you know what it is? I think a member of our studio audience knows.
He was still
a kid in the scene.
Pet Sematary 2.
Nope. Our studio audience is wrong. And our studio audience is going to be furious when they know what he was really in.
Kindergarten Cop?
Nope.
No.
He gets owned and Terrified by Sam Neill.
No, this is not him.
Yeah, it is him. At the beginning of Jurassic Park.
It's not him.
Yes,
oh,
yeah, it is
yeah.
him.
Yeah, it is him. Yeah. He He's all, that looks like a giant turkey.
He's like a big turkey.
Yeah, that's him.
Nope, same kid.
What's his name?
You know what? I think you're thinking of the wrong kid.
No, I'm not.
No, it's him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Anyway.
It's a Miki something, right?
His name?
Yeah.
His name is Whit.
No, that's a kid from New Nightmare. It's
It's Whit Hertford.
Yeah.
Whit Stillman.
Nope. Don't know who that
there
is.
We go.
So anything else? Any other deaths that you guys want to talk about?
I'm trying to think. There's a ton of deaths in this.
Well,
there's the girl that eats herself to death.
Oh, Greta.
Yeah.
That death is amazing. That might be my favorite death in the whole series. Bon appetit, bitch. That's Freddy's line in the movie. And he keeps feeding her over and over.
Yep.
It's amazing. It's like the Mr. Kelso thing from Monty Python's Meaning of Life, but like to the 11th degree. It's great. It's really good. What are you talking about with deaths? That death is amazing. Seriously, it's really good. The makeup's really good. She's really good. He's really good. From Never Sleep Again, by the way, she was so sick of being in that makeup for so long and not being able to eat like actual food that she ate spaghetti and meatballs one day. And like the tomato sauce like got stuck
in the
prosthetic, like in the like valley of the prosthetic between her lips and where the thing was. And so she had to like smell like the fetid tomato sauce all day.
Oh, I remember this from the documentary now.
Yeah, exactly. But that's an amazing scene.
Yeah.
It's very like it's super surreal, right? It's very kind of Gilliam-esque, you know, with her mother like, you know, aren't you enjoying your meal, dear?
Yeah.
And her being like force-fed over and over by Freddy. This movie might be shit, and it is. But it has a lot of amazing deaths in it.
Yeah. But I don't like it. This and the next one I don't like.
We're not on the next one yet.
Okay. So, what's another death?
I don't know that it matters. What did everybody rate it?
Let's move on. I don't think there are any like significant deaths.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember anything from this one.
What did you give this, Jenny?
2.
That's generous.
Yeah, I'm thinking of switching it to 1.5 because I think I like the one before this a little bit more than this one.
Yeah, me too.
This I think is that's it. Okay, I'll do 1.5, sorry.
It's a 1 for me.
Okay.
Wow. Still liked Freddy's Revenge more than this one.
Kevin, what did you give this?
2.5.
Very, very, very generous.
What did you give the last one?
3.
Okay.
I'm going to give this a 1. So I can give the next one a 1/2 star. Spoiler alert.
Wow.
1 star.
I'm ready to
Then we're
to
moving
fight
into 1988's Dream Child.
1990. No, we just did. This is Dream Child. That's what we just rated was Dream Child.
You're confused again. You never cease to amaze us with your...
The next one is Freddy's Dead. 1991. The Final Nightmare.
Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. That's what I said. I don't know what you guys are talking about. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
1991.
Also,
I'm so ready for this one.
Also, no one's drinking enough.
I'm so ready.
Okay. Look, 1981.
Let's fight.
1981.
Let's fight.
They get...
This is... Okay. So the series has reached a nadir, right? Mm-hmm. This last one, The Dream Child, did not make very much money at all.
Okay.
No.
Compared to the rest of the series. It still made more than the original movie, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But did not make... But was not as successful as they would have liked.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Dream Child made 22 million world... Oh, no, it didn't make as much as the first one. 22 million versus 25. So they're like, okay, we'll kill off Freddy. It's time. It's done, right? We've milked it. We've made it cartoonish. We're just going to kill him off. We're going to call it Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. And we're going to fill it with as much as weird guest stars as we can possibly muster.
Yep. Yeah,
as many great guest stars as I can possibly imagine.
So this
what
one
you meant to
this,
say.
This one we should say.
Be confident, Jenny.
I couldn't say it. I didn't know.
I don't know why that faded away so fast.
So this one we should say is the first and only movie of the series to be directed by a woman.
Whoa.
Long
all
time,
right.
Long time
it.
Producer of the series.
Yeah. She had worked on it for a while.
Talala.
And yeah, she kind of put her hat.
Talali.
Good.
Rachel Talali?
Talalay.
Lay.
Yeah.
So, and this is this was also a 3D one.
Yes.
Well, the last, 15 of the last 20 minutes are 3D.
Okay.
There's a weird, that's a good, I really want to get into that because I don't understand it. Because there's a part of the movie where she puts on the glasses and they like sparkle to become a part of her, right?
Yeah.
And then supposedly we see everything in 3D. So like all the weapons that they're picking up, they like shove them at the camera, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here's this morning star I found. I'm going to shove that at the camera. Here's this bat with a nail in it. I'm going to shove that at the camera. But then at the end of it, like after they defeated Freddy, spoiler alert, if I can enunciate.
Yeah.
They, like, it sparkles again and goes away. Like, is there a reason for the 3D glasses?
Money?
That they give in the movie. To, like, put these on? Or
yeah,
did I miss
like,
it completely?
Yeah, I believe it's used to like help fight Freddy. She has to put these 3D glasses on and they're supposed to be there to like help her fight Freddy.
And that's it though?
I'm pretty
sure. Like here,
yeah.
Put these on?
Yeah.
And this one had a script by Peter Jackson early on, a draft by Peter Jackson. And in his draft, you saw a really old Freddy. And that's how they killed him. The kids went into the dream.
Peter Jackson's original draft is amazing. From Never Sleep Again.
Yeah.
So Freddy's super old, and kids like fall asleep on purpose. Like they take drugs to fall asleep on purpose to go like beat him up in dreams.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
that sounds so much better than what this movie
is. And so sad.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Our audience members getting belligerent. What's she saying?
She's not saying anything.
So, Freddy's dead.
All right, look. So, let's be real.
This movie
sucks. One is from the 90s.
Yeah.
And it's listed as comedy, horror, thriller.
Ugh.
Because this one might not be scary at all, but they're actually poking fun at themselves the entire movie. And that is why...
It sucks.
It's great. Because they're finally poking fun at themselves.
Oh, this is the one. Okay, before we started this, Jenny was like...
This is I'm gonna,
one of them is my favorite.
No,
that
it's not
none
my
of
favorite.
You will agree with.
Yeah. No, it's not my favorite.
That's what
but,
you said. You said okay. that one of them is my favorite.
No, I said one
of
them.
Will
I
agree
know
with.
You will not agree.
You
with me.
Will not agree that it is my favorite, but it is.
Such a dick. Look, I didn't give it a high score, but I know I gave it more than you guys gave it because let me. Okay, I'm gonna go through it. Let me go through it. Oh shit! Hold on. Okay, one. There's a Johnny Depp cameo.
Okay. Keep going.
Two, there's an Alice Cooper cameo.
Okay.
As Freddy's father.
Freddy's father. And Johnny Depp comes back and is saying, "This is your brain on drugs, kids." And Breckin Meyer's in it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Well-known sexual icon, Breckin Meyer.
Well-known sexual icon. The way he dies is all of a sudden the TV turns into this psychedelic... like they play the Doors and it's like the psychedelic shit.
Yeah.
And he gets thrown into a video game.
Yeah.
And yeah. Freddy is controlling him with the controller. And then he's doing doot doot doot. And he's like, oh, super whatever his name is. I'm Super James or whatever.
And
okay.
And then
that's cool. And then his friends are like, well, let's go get him. So they go to sleep to get into the dream or to the video game. They take the controller away from Freddy, and Freddy goes, "You forgot about the power glove."
Yes, I do like that line. I do like the look because I was
he
obsessed with the power glove.
Brings up the power glove. Yeah.
But he says the line even before he puts on the power glove.
Yeah,
the line, "Now we're playing with power."
Yeah,
he says that when he has like the Atari joystick.
Yeah.
On him.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he probably didn't have permission from Nintendo to use the power glove.
No, they didn't at all.
Yeah, yeah.
The director talks about that in Never Sleeps Again, and Bob Shea was like, "I don't know, fuck him." Like, we'll say it. It's a great line. We'll see if they don't like it. And the movie was a huge success, and Nintendo was like, I don't know, it sold a lot of our shitty power gloves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll go ahead and keep it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of like Apple now. Apple now won't they've gone like, hey, if it's not like porn, we're not going to go
after. No, that's a more interesting conversation.
Apple, no, they've said that.
No, because if you look at TV series, by and large, the good guys use Apple and the bad guys use Windows. If you look at TV series where they have to make like the obvious obfuscation with like the electrical tape over the Apple logo, right? The good guys are usually using Apple and the bad guys are using Windows.
No, yeah.
Like, but 24, that was a stereotype of the show. Like, that was always how it worked.
I love how drunk one of our audience members is getting. I just love it. I've looked at her eyes as they like gotten like just like redder and redder. I'm like, yeah, it's not my text message.
Okay, another good death, the hearing aid kid.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's a really good death.
That one is amazing.
Yes.
But overall, this sucks because Freddy's death. Look, sucks.
No, shut up. Shut the fuck up.
I don't want
both of you. Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
I am agreeing with you.
I don't think you're agreeing with me strongly enough.
Okay, look. Explain the hearing aid death. Do it.
It is because it starts off with Freddy like taking the long Q-tip out. Like, he already is a deaf in one ear, right? And he takes the Q-tip out to like clean his ear. And then we learn that that's how he became deaf, is that as a punishment, his mother cleaned out his ear with a Q-tip too hard and made him deaf in one ear. And that, for me, is a terrifying idea.
Yes.
And so for him to like stick the Q-tip like in his ear and then through all the way to the other end.
That's awful.
But then like that's good and everything. But then to have the scene where every sound, like he has the demonic hearing aid where every sound is amplified by like 20,000 times. So then like he's fucking with him with like a pin drop. And so he like has a pin, Freddy does, and he drops it from like three stories up.
Just fucking with him.
Yeah, like, just fucking with him. And so the kid catches the pin and he's like, oh, and he's got a handful of needles and he drops them all to the ground.
Poking fun at themselves.
Like, that's the perfect, like,
so funny.
Fucking with a guy, Freddy thing.
Yes.
And also serious kind of like eeky feeling scary thing.
Although I don't like that he finally was like, well, let's do the nails on the chalkboard, and then his head just explodes. I don't like that that's how he died. But I like that he's fucking with his hearing. I mean, I don't like it, but I like that.
That's another thing that they were worried about the MPAA about, which is interesting.
His really? Head blowing up?
Yeah. Not making it too violent.
Oh, fuck the MPAA, dude.
Yeah, I agree.
At that time, now they love violence. Yeah. That's what I think is interesting about it. Yeah. Because now, if you say anything about sex or drugs or anything that someone would consider abhorrent as opposed to violence, they latch onto, you know, like a leech. But violence, they don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
Like, over and over, they don't give a shit about violence. Like, PG-13 movie, thousands of people could die on screen.
Yeah.
But they don't care. But if you show a tit, one tit, most people have two. You show one.
You show half a nipple and they get upset.
And it's over. You have an R rating.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we also didn't explain the synopsis because it's kind of an interesting thing where...
It is actually.
Let's talk about synopsis.
Okay. I can't remember all of it, but I know the part where...
I've got it.
Oh, okay. Well,
are you talking about the screen at the beginning where it sets up like what the deal is?
Yeah, where there's no kids left. Yeah. Do you want to explain that one?
Yeah. Okay. So... So shit, I thought I had to write it down, but maybe I don't.
Oh, I'm confused again.
Well,
your confusion struck again.
Well, pretty much the gist, and you can fill it in if you guys want to fill it in. It's that Freddy's been around for so long that he's either killed all the teenagers or they've all... No, yeah, he's killed all the teenagers, right? He's killed all the kids. And so there's only one surviving teenager left in...
Oh, got it. Sorry.
Okay.
It has like an Escape from New York style like screen, you know, intro of like the United States.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to
you.
Yes. That says, quote, mysterious killings and suicides wipe out entire population of children and teenagers. Remaining adults are experiencing mass psychosis. There is new evidence of one surviving teenager. And then we cut to that kid on a plane,
trying to leave,
which my favorite trivia thing about that is that that was supposed to be divine. The passenger next to him was supposed to be divine, but divine unfortunately died before he could film that scene, because John Waters was really close friends with the director, Rachel Dolezal. And so Divine was going to play the role. How fucking amazing would that have been if Divine was playing the airline passenger next to the kid? Hey, calm the fuck down.
Isn't that Roseanne Barr?
I'm thinking. No. Roseanne Barr comes in the town later. Oh, okay. Yeah. It has a few weird cameos in the movie.
Yeah, Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold.
Yeah, but Divine was supposed to be an airline passenger. Cool. That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the thing that Jenny was talking about.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool, it's a pretty interesting plot.
Wait, so you like this movie?
I do.
It's interesting for them to be like, okay, well, let's see, like, the last five movies we've had, Freddy is taking revenge on the children of the people that burned him alive. Mm. So what happens when he just kills all the kids?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah.
It doesn't end as good as it should have, but it's a good idea at the time.
Yeah. Let's talk about the ending. How does it end?
Okay, so in this movie, they build into the mythology in a really half-assed way. And I mean half-assed by there's one line of dialogue that tries to build the mythology of Freddy Krueger. Yeah. In that when he died, the dream people took a hold of him and said, this is your duty, right?
Yeah.
He says, the dream people. That's the only thing in the movie that points to it, the dream people. And in the movie, the dream people are these sperm-like flying skulls with spine-like, you know, tails behind them that infect Freddy, that I guess are the dream people.
They're like dreamjes.
Yeah, dreamjes that give power over the high dreamja to control the world of dreams.
Yeah.
And so they infect him.
I prefer the mirror to anything.
We also find out that that Freddy has a kid, and one of the main characters is Freddy's kid. And the whole time think it's the boy.
That's right. Because we should go back to the beginning.
Okay.
They follow a group of orphans,
mm-hmm.
which is weird to determine at the beginning. It seems like a police station, but it's a shelter.
Yeah.
For wayward teens. Mm-hmm. And one of them, after we meet him in the airplane where Divine is supposed to play the airline passenger, and he like falls through the airplane and falls through the house, and he's being fucked with by Freddy.
Yeah.
Because his job is to bring back his daughter, who is the ward or like chief psychiatrist or something of the shelter that Breckenmeyer and the other two kids are at in the movie.
Yeah.
And that's his daughter.
Right.
That's his daughter. And so he wants her back into Elm Street.
Yeah. And they...
Oh, yeah. So and then they show flashbacks.
Yeah. And he is able to convince her to go back to Springwood, where Elm Street is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other kids, like, hijack on the minivan to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
And then thus kind of starts the plot of every other Elm Street movie. Basically.
Yeah.
Each of them subsequently, as they fall asleep, they're attacked by Freddy Krueger.
Boom.
In contextually relevant ways. The video game kid who plays, that's my fate. One of our studio audience will appreciate this. They show him obsessively playing the LCD Ninja Gaiden game. Like the LCD as in like the like weird black and white like 3 animation game.
Oh, the Tiger?
Yeah, that's not the brand, though.
Bandai?
It's close. Yeah, Bandai. You know, Bandai made a shitload of them.
Yeah.
But it was the Ninja Gaiden thing that, anyway, he's obsessively playing it. He's a video game nerd, so he dies being in a video game, obviously. And, I can't remember the other deaths of the movie, though.
The ear thing. We already talked about the ear
thing. Oh, the ear thing.
Are you fucking drunk, dude?
Yeah, I am drunk.
Okay.
Oh, and we do flashback to Freddy as a dad with the girl in it, because she's finally remembering like, this being her dad, because she had she'd forgotten about it. And he's like in a little Carnegie and like happy-go-lucky, like life is wonderful and all that shit. And then he like yells at her mom and shit.
Robert Englund we didn't talk about this, but this is the second time where he is himself. He's sans makeup.
Yeah.
As Freddy Krueger. Yeah. Oh, okay. Killing the girl's mom.
Yeah.
Like strangling her and hitting her head against like the playhouse. Oh, yeah. And then she finds him. Yeah, yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. So Freddy attacked by the sperm and then he dies, basically.
That's, well, no, that's well, within
she
him.
Blows him up.
The sperm is within him.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
all sperm is.
Yeah, yeah. And so the movie ends and there's no cliffhanger. This is the only movie with no cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I do have to say though, we're shitting on a lot of these, so yeah. I want to make sure I highlight what I like. The video game stuff with Breckenmeyer, I do like that he goes to the video game and his dad is this weird tennis player jock yes. character, and he keeps hitting him over the head saying, be like me, be like me, yeah. be like me, be like me. Like that is really, I think that's really smart. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else we have?
We talked about the Johnny Depp cameo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's oh, I do like in the later, after he kills the deaf kid, I can't remember who he's going after, but he has the line of where he's trying, oh shit, this is the one with the girl who is reliving the rape scenario with her father. Oh, this one's weird. I forgot about that.
Oh, what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. With the, yeah, oh, yeah.
With her creepy dad mm-hmm. that like comes in, you know.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, in the kitchen when she's like washing dishes. And he says something like, you know, no honey for daddy.
Oh, oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, it's the worst. But then he turns into Freddy later in the scene, and he pulls out the guy's ear that he had cut off earlier, the deaf guy. And he was like, sorry, that was my bad ear. And he holds the thing, and that was a good line. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Overall, I didn't like this movie.
Okay.
There's some cool death scenes, but not enough for me to be like, eh.
The death scenes are the good part of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But everything else is
I
just...
I still liked it more than, like, half the ones we already talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
More than Dream Warriors?
No, I said half.
So only...
That's one?
So, two... I liked it more than two, unless, four, and five.
Unless it's, like, yeah.
I liked it more than two, four, and five. Because I liked... One and three.
Which leaves two and three. Okay.
Two, four, and five.
It's like 1.14%.
Okay. So, Jenny, what did you give this movie? What's the rating for you on this one?
3.5.
On this one?
Yeah.
2.75.
Ugh. That's not a real rating.
One.
What?
We're not sponsored. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Kevin doesn't
one.
Like it.
Kevin, tell us why.
The movie's called Freddy's Dead, and his death is the lamest thing in the world.
He does just explode with the weird yeah, soul sperm coming
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Let's put a stick of dynamite in his chest. You guys come up with like the coolest deaths throughout this entire series for people he kills.
That's Bob Shea, right?
But when you want to kill off your character, the unique character, let's just stick a piece of dynamite in his chest and blow him up. Lame.
That's all Bob Shea, though.
And the 3D sucks ass.
I didn't see it in 3D, so
I haven't seen
know.
It in 3D either.
Yeah. The first time I saw it in 3D.
Me too. And there's a thing where
well obviously
when
that weapons thing goes on for like 7 minutes where they're just like pointing the weapons they find at the screen.
When you bought the VHS copy of this movie,
yeah,
yeah,
they you could go to 7-Eleven and they would give you the 3D glasses for free. It was a cross promotional thing with 7-Eleven, and they wanted you to buy Slurpees basically. So anyway,
you don't need a reason to buy a Slurpee.
No, you don't need a reason to buy a Slurpee.
I only gave it half a star.
At the time you needed a reason to buy a Slurpee, I'd already had 5 Slurpees that day.
And then that leads us to 1994.
No comment.
No comment.
We're all getting more drunk as the podcast progresses.
Yeah, yeah, sorry about that. 1994, Bob Shea... Wow,
oh
that's
my
a
God.
Right, that bottle's almost gone.
I didn't want that much.
You're crazy, dude.
What?
It's a birthday present
for you.
A New Nightmare, Bob Shea, Wes Craven, they settle their differences.
Bob Shea even gave Wes Craven points on previous movies.
Yeah, that he fucked him over on.
Rightly so.
Yeah. And he says, or even Stevens, come back and do one more because Freddy's death.
Do you have an idea?
Fucking suck balls.
Also, we made a shitload of money on that movie.
Yeah.
I know we killed him. Forget about that.
But
can you
bring him back?
Yeah. Do you have an idea?
And the way they bring him back, this is an awesome movie.
It's his prototype for Scream.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because I enjoyed it a lot more when I first saw it than I did when I saw it now.
Oh, really? No, I loved it.
I loved
it. It is really good. Yeah. You know what? I take that back because in the context of all the movies,
I don't trust anything you're saying now. You're like half a bottle into fucking half a whiskey bottle into this.
I think that's unfair.
That's true.
Here's the thing, Jenny.
That just means I'm speaking more honestly.
Jenny and I went to go see it at the New Beverly, and this played after the first one, Nightmare on Elm Street, and it was an awesome double feature because it was like
the
beginning and the end. And it was great.
Yeah.
And I will say, Heather Langenkamp is awesome in this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She's really good. Like, more so than you would expect from... She doesn't act that much.
Yeah. Okay,
you
know what I mean? We should explain the thing.
The synopsis.
Mm-hmm, sorry.
And the hook.
Yeah.
So, New Nightmare breaks the fourth wall. Like, the movie is about the movie within the movie. What I mean
it's
by
the
that,
meta film.
It's a meta film. It's amazing. It is the
it's his prototype for Scream.
It's a prototype for Scream. So basically the movie is about it's the movie about making the movies. Like they're playing themselves. Wes Craven is in the movie.
It also rewrites the entire mythology of the movies that came before it.
Oh yeah.
Because the idea from this movie is that Freddy Krueger was an entity that fulfilled like the character of the movies.
Yeah.
Like he brought it forward. Like the entity lived within him. So now that there are no movies, the entity has nowhere to go.
And it comes out.
Except in what it knows, which is Nancy from the first movie, which is Heather Langenkamp, so it affects her real life.
Yes. And Robert Englund's in this. As Robert Englund.
Yes. As Robert Englund.
Yeah.
As
a painter.
Consummate painter, Robert Englund. Yeah.
Like Leonard Nimoy has the novels and
amazing actor Wes Craven and Robert Shaw.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And it's great because they definitely break that fourth wall and now it's so meta, and in so many ways just so out of the box.
It's the first Scream gets all the credit.
It's a very existential movie.
I say that as a prototype for Scream is like a half negative thing, but everyone. You know, comes all over Scream because of like the deconstructionist nature of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, oh, it totally took apart all the slasher movies I loved. Yeah. But this does it not as well, but it still does it before any of that. And Heather Langenkamp as Heather Langenkamp is really good in the movie. That's the biggest takeaway I took from rewatching it, is that some of the stuff doesn't work, but she is really good.
Because the whole movie kind of plays on the fact that, like, Freddy, like, she thinks she has a stalker, and really it's the entity of Freddy that's kind of attacking her.
That's true.
So some of the deaths is Heather's husband dies.
Oh,
He's a pop maker. He makes the glove.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working on a new movie, and he's got a new glove. And it's pretty crazy. The new glove is like, it's on like a skeleton, right? Like the bones.
Yeah.
And the claws are on the bones, and it's fucking pretty sick. And the glove attacks him and kills him.
Do you like it more, though?
The glove? It was just creepier.
Because he's scarier looking.
Yeah. They changed his look for this one.
Oh, yeah.
And the glove tickles his pee-pee a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Why does it do that?
Yeah, like, it does.
When is that? I don't remember that.
When he's driving.
In the car and it like comes from underneath and it's like...
Yeah.
That's right. And then the guy scratches his balls.
Yeah. It's really weird.
That's funny. That's my only knock against the movie is the things
the
they
scratching?
Did. No. The things that are so transparently like mid-90s trying to make something cool.
You don't like cool things?
Well, okay. No. Here's the Freddy thing.
Okay.
There's a picture being taken of me right as we speak.
Oh, this is weird.
Yeah. The flash didn't come on, so I didn't know when it happened. I don't know what my face is doing. But what I was saying about New Nightmare is that he's in not a sweater but a turtleneck. He's got a trench coat, cool new trench coat.
Yeah. He's a very, like a chic Freddy Krueger.
Oh, yeah. Trench coat, chic.
It's
and
white. And
then he's got the... I wish he had
Donna
looked...
Donna in New York?
Because for the deconstructionist part of it to work, he needs to feel more like the old Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
I feel like that would make it far more effective than having him be this new... I know what they were doing. They're trying to make him more, like, actually terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to, like,
it worked.
The burned look that he had before. It's more like his face is, like, exploding out of the skin. Like, it's all, like, splitting apart, which looks cool, and he's not as cracking wise as much of a cartoon as he did before.
Yeah.
But I feel like if that had played against the seriousness of it, it would be more effective. Do you know what I mean?
I disagree. I mean,
but you know what I mean, right? I know you disagree, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, but I don't see it because I do love this movie so much.
And it is really good.
It works as is.
Yeah.
See? Are the audience drunk audience member?
I agree with you. I really love the movie.
We should just hire these winos.
But if the Freddy that you remember from the original movies has shown up in this movie that is creating a different reality for it, like it's him brushing up to the real world,
it wouldn't have worked as well as it does.
You think it would have been cartoony?
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically saying that in the real world, it's scarier than what you can create in a movie.
Yeah,
because it's more cartoony in the movie, so it's going to be. And if it's happening in real life, it's going to be scarier.
Yeah. See, here's what happened. He gave a real answer. You just insulted me.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's my thing.
That's my bag.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
I had an idea that I was wrong, but I didn't know I was wrong until he articulated it. You just called me a fucking asshole.
That's why he's here. To articulate my asshole.
Yeah. I can translate asshole.
But overall, this is another 5 for me. Like, 5 stars.
Wait, we're not giving it a rating yet. We're not.
Okay. No.
Let's talk about the kid.
Yeah.
Oh.
How fucking creepy that kid is. This is the Pet Cemetery Kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pet Cemetery Kid.
Yeah. I keep talking about how I do love this movie, but I have problems with it.
Oh my God. Why did he do that?
But that kid.
He's fucking holding knives? What the fuck? But that kid. Kids are awful.
They needed one scene of the kid being normal in the movie. Because the kid has a through line of being fucked up 100%.
I just wanted the kid dead.
But I need the kid, at least in the beginning of the movie, to be a normal child and not some fucked up weirdo like he is the rest of the movie.
I literally just wanted to kill the kid.
He's supposed to be like this scary part of it that's like inviting Nancy back into the movie, you know? But he's just creepy 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And then Freddy pulled a Tina death with the babysitter.
Yeah.
Yes.
And pulled her up in front of the kid.
Oh.
And the kid's like, what's her name, Alice? I don't know. Yeah. It's not Alice.
The kid's like that the whole movie, though.
God, he's awful.
The kid seems like he's like really terrified, like in real life. Like just the whole way they threw you, like, Julie, this kid's fucking like traumatized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I do love, so can we talk about actually how awesome Heather Langenkamp is?
Yeah, and we talked about it already, but you sure we can talk about it again?
So in the movie, so New Nightmare is all about reflecting real life, right?
Yeah.
So in real life, she's married to a special effects artist. Her and her husband run a very prestigious and amazing VFX company called AFX.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
A special effects makeup company.
Yeah.
Did you know that she was in Star Trek Into Darkness?
No.
She played, so their company did makeup for Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah.
And they had a sculpture on a shelf of this character that this sculptor that had died made, right? And they had passed on, but they still had it like in their inventory.
Yeah.
And so they were contracted to do, you know, work for Star Trek Into Darkness. And so they pitched to J.J. Abrams this whole story about the sculptor. Like, he had this thing that he had made and, you know, he passed on, but, you know, we wanted to keep this for him. And his name was Moto something. And so he loved that story enough that he put that sculpt in the movie, and Heather Langenkamp played him, and they named him Moto.
Really?
Yeah. The character kind of looks like Admiral Ackbar in a way, but without the tentacles.
Really?
But like the weird, like, you know, up jaw, you know.
Sound. Yeah. Like a fish?
Yeah, exactly. But like a little shorter skull.
Like Zoidberg? Zoidberg.
Zoidberg, but a smaller face.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was Heather Langenkamp.
That's cool.
Yeah. She's cool. Yeah.
But her husband didn't want to act in the movie.
What a dick.
There is another cool scene. Is this the one where, I think so, where she goes back to Elm Street and she's like, John Saxon. And she's like, John, what are you doing? And he's like, Nancy. And she's like, why are you calling me Nancy?
Yeah.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
And that's a cool scene. Someone explain that one better
to me. And she turns around and it's the fucking Elm Street house.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's a really good one. And then he's like, honey, go back to, and like, it's just like the scene in the first one.
Yeah.
Go back upstairs. I'll be right across the street or whatever.
It's really good.
Is John Saxon still alive?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
But he's like 79.
And I think in the movie he's purposely wearing a bad wig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the stories from him in the first one.
Yeah.
Because his wig is way obvious in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The playground scene.
Oh my god! With the he goes to the top
when,
of the
yeah
thing.
When her son plays. How yeah. Okay, so before I was like, oh, I missed the playground. It wasn't dangerous. Yeah. Like we just played around and stuff. But that thing her son climbs up is like three stories high.
I wanted to get to God, or what did he say?
No, he said I wanted Freddy to take me. Like he was reaching his arms up for Freddy to take him.
Oh, Freddy?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that's who he was seeing. Because Freddy was talking to him.
Yeah, I didn't remember who he wanted to take him.
Yeah,
sorry.
But that's why he was doing the Shawshank Redemption thing on
yeah.
top of the
what the fuck
tower at the playground
kids are
with
crazy.
His arms to the sky.
Well, they have like playground supervisors now at elementary schools for all the kids that are going to break their arms and shit.
Yeah.
Playgrounds are terrifying.
Yeah, you know, I miss that stuff, but we did hurt ourselves a lot.
Yeah. I remember always falling on
I
my
remember
back.
Less than 10, but more than 4
yeah.
times
yeah.
when we got specifically hurt because of the playground equipment.
Yeah. Scary.
Did you guys remember watching this and seeing that this is the only movie that doesn't have a title in the beginning?
Oh.
No.
Purposely to make it feel like it's not a movie?
Oh, the title card.
It doesn't come out till the end.
Oh, you know, I forgot to bring that up when we were going through all the movies, all the quotes.
Yeah.
At the beginning of movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. We'll put them up as screenshots.
On, yep, you do that, Ricardo.
I could just say them now.
Say them. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm trying to get my best Edgar Allan Poe impression.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just don't take forever, you know.
Sleep.
That was one?
Those little slices of death, how I loathe them. Edgar Allan Poe.
Is that for part two?
That's three.
Okay.
Three is the first one to have a quote.
Okay.
And then the second one is four. Not sure I know how to do an impression of this.
Just say it.
Job sound like?
Just say it.
Do you have a voice?
Edgar Allan Poe.
When deep sleep falleth on men. I think he sounds like Jackie Mason. Fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones shake.
Yeah.
Job 4, Job. Lines 13 through 14. Freddy's Dead, the Final Nightmare.
Wait, it's...
Do you know the terror of he who sleeps?
Did you just...
To the very toes, he is terrified. Because the ground gives way under him, and the dream begins. Friedrich Nietzsche.
Oh, man.
And like, it has two quotes. Welcome to prime time, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, we did that.
That's
one.
The second quote in Freddy's at the Phone. It gives two title cards with quotes on it.
Hmm.
That was a good Nietzsche.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to the ratings because we've gone too far.
We're far enough.
We need to bring this back.
We're not going
to
talk more about New Nightmare?
What else
we
do you
talked
say?
A lot about it.
What else do you want to say about
you
New
really
Nightmare?
Said everything you could, I think.
Yeah.
How is Dylan alive at the end of the movie in that fucking oven? Like, he skirts to the side of it? Right?
Well, I mean, it might be warm, but the flames weren't touching him.
Yeah.
But then Freddy just goes into the room and he burns alive.
Because he's touching the flame.
Yeah.
That's how flames work.
You guys are just saying this because you want to move on to the next movie.
No, I'm sure he was hot, and maybe he got a little bit of a burn, but he got far enough away from the flame. He's good.
No, it's a faux pas.
All right. All right. So, what does everyone rate it?
What's everyone's rating? Jenny, you start off with you.
A 5.
Can I ask one question?
Oh, man.
Sure. What do you want to ask, dude?
You just asked.
I want to know if anyone looked it up. So, the funeral scene at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
How many people in that movie are of the original Elm Street cast? Because I feel like there's a lot that I didn't see that are actually...
Yeah.
I feel like that's a scene where they would be like, okay, let's just fill this with people who are in it.
Yeah. Apparently,
does anyone know for sure, though?
I think it's everyone but Johnny Depp.
Yeah, probably.
And I think the only reason he didn't appear was because Wes Craven felt too embarrassed to ask him to come back. Because he was huge at this point. Like, huge.
Yeah, but he seems like a guy who would be up for stuff.
Well, after an interview after, he said, oh, I would have done it. I would totally have done it if you would have asked. But no one asked me, so.
He does everything anyone asks of him, right?
He does. He does. Brian, what did you give this movie? 5 stars?
Oh, New Nightmare?
Yeah. No,
I'll give it
part one. Yes, New Nightmare. I'm confusing. For,
you're not confusing me. I got it. Four and a half.
Okay. Kevin, what'd you give us?
Five.
Yeah, me too. Five. All right. So this moves us on to
Freddy vs. Jason.
Yes. 2003.
Ugh.
What are you owing?
This movie.
You're poo-pooing this movie?
I will say that this is the only one I actually saw in theaters when it came out.
Oof.
Because
I saw it opening night.
Yeah, I was like opening weekend. Yeah. This was my shit back then. Like, this was my jam. This was my type of movie right there when it came out. I was like, yep.
This is
for me. I was in high school. I was like, yeah, this is
I'm on board.
What I've been looking forward to all my life. That's pretty much what
I'm
thought.
I'm like, give me some Lerman's Romeo and Juliet and some fucking you, Freddy vs. Jason.
Yep. I loved it.
So did they or did they not use a different Jason actor?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, they right? did.
Yeah, different Kane actor. Hodder, not Kane Hodder in this movie.
This one is Ken Krasinski.
Which is hilarious when you see Kane Hodder like in an interview.
Yeah.
Because he is Jason 100%. Like his structure
is
Jason 100%.
His stance.
Which, I'm sorry to go back. Can I go back for a second?
No.
Only because you've seen Never Sleep Again.
Yeah.
The Leslie Dean, who was in like Five, I think, her interview scenes where she's in the weird makeup.
Yeah.
With her like sub, like caressed on her chest.
Yeah.
Through the whole movie. And she's just like petting her. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just wanted to give people a reason to see Never Sleep Again because
I think they should just watch it
because every time they cut to her, she's just petting her sub in the interview with like a weird bloody effect on her head.
Yeah,
and she's just petting her,
All right, let's talk about the new one.
Thank you for the digression.
So, 2003.
Freddy vs. Jason.
They finally get this music video director Ronnie Yu to come in. To come in and direct this movie. He's another flashy director who no one cares about, but whatever.
No, he had directed before this Bride of Chucky.
Which was not good.
Yeah. No. But Bride of Chucky was the like super silly version of the series that everyone actually really enjoyed. It was super successful.
Yeah.
Like it was the super farcical version of Chucky.
Yeah.
So he agrees to do it. He comes in and there had been many, many scripts for this movie before this. There was a Ronald D. Moore one where it was a courtroom drama. Oh,
that one, in Never Sleep Again, they show the storyboards of Jason like constrained in the witness stand.
Yeah.
That version of the movie sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But that one never got made.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. But they did make this one. And this movie stars, who's in this one?
Jason Ritter.
Kelly Rowland. Of Destiny's Child.
Yes. Yeah. Chris Marquette.
Mm-hmm. Monica Keenan.
That's about it. Anybody that people would know.
Yeah. Jason Mewes.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Wait, when is he in it?
Yeah, that's right. That's
Did
right.
I miss that? That's when right. is he in it?
He's got like a really small like bit part in it.
Yeah, he's like a little cameo.
Is he at that like weird rave in the middle of the cornfield?
I'm pretty sure.
Probably, right?
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Okay. So, who wants to talk about this movie?
Yeah, so the deal is that Freddy wants to get everyone's forgotten about Freddy, and once they forget about him, they don't dream about him, so he's not coming back. And so to get people to start dreaming about him, he decides to wake up another killer that has been in this area, and it's Jason.
Yeah.
And so he decides to...
Who targets teenagers like Freddy.
Yes. So he's like, I'm going to get into Jason's mind and pretend that I'm his mother. And then it'll wake him up and make him start killing for me. And then they'll remember me because I will leave a note on one of the kids' bodies that says Freddy's back. And so everyone's like, 100% Freddy.
Accurate.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the girl's like, wait, why do I remember that name? And then she goes, her boyfriend that was crazy and put in an insane asylum gets out of the insane asylum and is like, yeah, Freddy, everyone, and then they everyone remembers Freddy, and then Freddy gets back in everyone's dreams, and then it's a whole, how are we going to get, so Freddy is hates fire, Jason hates water, how can we use this? And nobody hears her, and she says it. And then it's never really brought out again. I mean, they use fire and water, but it's like they don't use it against them.
And then eventually, Freddy gets upset at Jason for something very stupid.
Because Jason is killing all the kids that Freddy wants to kill. Yeah. And so in the middle of Freddy almost killing one girl, Jason kills her. And then she like disappears from Freddy's thing. And Freddy goes, no!
And then and then they have a fight.
And then they're like, look, I'm going to fucking kill Jason.
And they go at it for a long fucking time.
Well, they go at it through like three different scenes. Yeah. Like they fight once and they fight again and then they have like the giant battle.
Jason or Freddy possesses that high kid and makes the high kid give Jason the tranquilizers so that Jason goes to sleep so that Freddy can get into his dream. Yeah. That's the
Hypnosil.
First one.
They bring back Hypnosil from Dream Warriors.
Yeah. And then Freddy uses the water to make Jason into an ugly little boy again.
Oh, yeah.
He's so ugly.
I forgot. That was one of my favorite parts is when the nerd is with the whole gang and they're looking up what Hypnosil is. And they show, they have a shot on the screen of like Hypnosil, like sleep suppression drug. And then they cut back to the nerdy kid, and the girl asks him, like, what's Hypnosil? And he's like, oh, I don't know, it's some drug. He's like, reading through the page. It suppresses sleep, I guess. And, like, we just saw it in, like, 3 seconds, what the thing was that they were looking on the webpage.
Yeah.
And he's, like, translating it to them.
He's like, look, this it looks like it, what I'm getting like, here.
I don't know. I guess it suppresses sleep. Yeah. It said sleep suppression. Yeah. Who knows what that means?
So
let's talk about some deaths. How about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jason, who dies in this movie?
So it's the white trash girl, redneck white trash girl, that passes out from getting so wasted that some rave guy decides to rape her.
Yeah.
And then Jason stabs both of them while he's raping her.
He skewers them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jason goes through and like is trying to kill everyone at that.
At that rave.
Rave.
But he's really slow.
Yeah, he's just walking, and he's like, come closer. And then some kid is like, I'm going to fight back. And you're like, what? Just run. He has a machete.
You're like, you clearly have not seen the previous movies.
His arm, like, you don't have to. His arm length is going to get you before you can even get to him. What?
And then, does Kelly Rowland die in this one?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She tries to distract Freddy from the other white girl.
Yeah, like she does have that awesome scene where she's having a nightmare about getting her nose job.
Oh, yeah.
And Freddy comes up and like sticks his two fingers in and flicks her nose off.
Oh,
and she flips out.
Oh, yeah. And then Freddy goes, I love dark meat or something about dark meat to her. What does he say?
Probably.
It's someone ridiculous.
Yeah.
What else? Who else dies? Oh, the kid that was at the insane asylum with Jason Ritter. Mm-hmm. The way he dies is he's in like his room, and the only way they can get into his room to wake him up is this one little tiny window that's got all these bars on it, and you're like, why didn't you use the front door? But yeah, he falls asleep and then gets dragged all over the place, and that's when Freddy writes in his back, Freddy's back.
Yeah, and then
he leaves a note.
The awful scene where he becomes the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland.
Yes,
for the stone kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is awful.
That is a painful scene. 100% CG, right? There's no puppets in it. Yeah, yeah.
But these last two movies are all CG. Basically no practical effects.
There's also that weird scene with all those people that have taken so much Hypnosil that they're like practically dead. Or something, but they don't really use that at all.
It doesn't pay off.
I thought they
cut it out of the movie or something. If the movie feels like they filmed a lot of shit and then they took stuff out.
Well, they talked about it in Never Sleep Again. There's a whole subplot about like the Freddy cult.
Yeah.
Right. Just, like with all the weird followers who believed in him wearing the red and green sweaters.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Oh, that's
cool. They cut out completely. Yeah.
So that's probably a leftover a little bit from that.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
But the only thing I thought was funny about the final fight is how Freddy can like use the force.
Yeah.
Like all he's doing in the fight for the most part is taking things and throwing him at Jason from the room.
Yeah.
Like taking some ventilation shaft and throwing it across the room with his telepathy.
Well, it's
the, yeah.
It's
why does he the, have tele? Does he? I thought he only had telepathy in dreams.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is
okay.
You never know what is in a dream or not. I guess.
I guess.
And you could argue maybe one of two ways. Probably not, though.
Yeah,
I think Freddy vs. Jason probably breaks it.
So, yeah. So the end. I guess you'd say Jason wins. Chops Freddy's heads off.
Well, they both die.
Yeah, yeah.
So the end is they both die, but
yeah,
then
but
they
Jason can't die.
Right. Well, she throws his machete back in the water like an idiot.
Yeah. Who does that?
Yeah. Who doesn't like chop him up and put him in different places? That's all I want to know.
Put him in hollow ground. Yeah. It's called a callback.
And then Jason like starts walking back out of the water and Freddy's head's in his hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Freddy winks. So is Freddy dead?
There's a sequel. There was supposed to be Freddy. A sequel. Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Which would have been cool.
Yeah.
No. That would have been the worst.
If Sam Raimi would have done it, it would have been awesome.
Sam Raimi would never do it. Maybe. So it would have been awful.
Yeah. All right. So that leads us to the last ratings. Film. Oh, I'm sorry. Ratings. Jenny, what did you give it?
3.
0.5.
Okay. Wow.
2.
Half. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It was very disappointing for me.
Oh, we had the same rating. Oof. But yet you gave me shit with your eyes.
All right. So the last one is the remake, 2010.
2010.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Directed by...
With Rooney Mara.
Samuel Bayer.
Rooney, sorry.
Rooney Mara.
Film music video director.
And Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah, as Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they just couldn't use Robert Englund again. No, he's still alive. Could have used him. He's Maybe really
he
old. But
because they were making it for a new generation.
Yeah.
When they were going for a different type of Freddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Englund would
This
camp
one
it up.
Was hardcore, definitely a child molester.
Yes.
There's no question.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't even kill anyone.
No,
he just molested.
Just molested. Yeah.
That's part of the massive problem with this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because on one hand, they try to make him sympathetic at a certain point.
Yeah.
When they show his dream of himself, and it's him remembering him when he was burned alive. But like, no one really knows if he actually did anything. Even though we know eventually that he did, the people who acted didn't know that he specifically did it.
The kids said they'd.
Yeah, the
so
kids
they believed the kids.
Yeah, so they believe the kids, but they don't know for a fact. And even the movie tries to make us think that he didn't do it for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know why. It just the whole movie fails.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk a lot about this because I don't. This kind of movie angered me a little bit. Like, I just, there was no need for them to make this movie.
There's no reason.
There's no reason for
it. And they force feed so many scenes from the original movie.
Yeah, and that's, it kind of ruined, if someone, it spoiled the movie for a lot of people because they could have gone and watched the original and been way more satisfied.
Yeah.
But now they have spoiled some of the scenes for them.
Yeah.
They come up with the whole micro nap thing.
Ugh.
So that they can like fall asleep for half a second and see a scene from the original movie, like Tina in the body bag.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's not her movie. Her name in the movie. That's the other weird thing. Everyone has the same name. Like Nancy is Nancy.
Yeah,
but who's the blonde girl in the movie?
That's Katie Cassidy, I think.
Chris.
No. Chris.
Her name's Chris.
Why isn't she Tina?
I don't know.
Yeah.
like the first.
Well, there's
movie.
Also a Quentin.
She's the same character.
Yeah.
And a Dean.
Yeah.
All the boys' names are different.
Connie Britton is in this. That's she's good in this.
So is Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
Who's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. And Jackie Earle Haley, he's fine, I guess. Like, for what he's doing,
he's good.
Yeah.
He's not a bad Freddy, but he's not my Freddy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
100%.
So this movie was kind of a letdown for me.
I just got bored, like, halfway through it. I was watching, and I'm like, why do I still watch this?
30 minutes in, honestly, there was a point 30 minutes in. I don't remember specifically what it was. I was like, oh, there's only like 10 minutes left, right? And there was another 45.
Yeah. This is the Transformers 4 of the series.
Yeah.
Doesn't end.
And
doesn't end.
This movie brought to light a major fallacy of all the movies. So there's the part where the kid is trying to make sure Rooney Mara stays, or that when she goes to sleep and if she's in danger, he can wake her up.
Yeah.
But they sit down.
Yeah.
Just pace the room.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to go to sleep. Sit down.
Chillax for a bit.
Yeah, lean back. You're going to go to sleep.
Yep.
And he does instantly. Yeah. Like in 1.5 seconds,
yeah,
he goes to sleep. Yeah. Just pace the room a little bit.
Overall, not a fan of this movie.
It's bad.
Could do without it. Never have to see it again. So, Jenny, what did you rate this movie?
I'm gonna put it at 1.5.
Okay, generous.
Can I do a half?
Yeah,
half.
I mean, that's allowed. Kevin,
half a star.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it half a star. Fuck this movie.
I like the actors. I will say that I liked all the acting.
Yeah, and the they thing were is, fine, it, yeah. They had the formula to make a good movie, you know, but it just kind of.
Man. I mean, if you're gonna remake it, ignore anything from the original movie. Yeah. Just remake a movie. Yeah.
Make your own thing.
But they were like, let's take the cool things like him putting his knives on, making the noise, and let's add fucking sparks.
Yeah,
the fireworks. That's the thing. Everything's like, it's so corporate. It feels so corporate. Like everything's amped up. Like the scene where Tina, quote unquote,
when Freddy sponsored by Pepsi Cola.
Yeah, when he, we totally forgot about the body glove sponsorship in two though. Oh, there's like a close up on the bus, like control panel that says body glove, a giant sticker. But in this one, where quote unquote Tina, I can't remember what her name
Chris.
Is in this.
Yeah, Chris.
When Chris is like failing around the room, they're like, well, we're not going to make her like slowly like slide up the wall, up to the roof, like in a creepy manner. We're just going to bash her.
Yeah.
We're just going to bash her all across the fucking room.
Yeah.
Like one after another. And it's just, it's so cartoonish. It doesn't have the same feeling to it. And that's just the whole movie feels like.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with him coming through the wall. It just seems like a cartoon.
Yeah. God. And in the first one, to bring it back, that coming through the wall is beautiful. That is a beautiful shot. It looks faker than it is. Like him coming through the wall, it looks like it's like a kind of a matte effect, like where they superimpose two shots, but it's just one shot and it looks gorgeous. The remake just looks like garbage.
Yeah, yeah. It's not appealing to the eye.
Yeah, it takes you out of it.
It's too clean. It's too conscious of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
So overall, I think this is a great series though, because it has its peaks and valleys. You know, like you at least for me, one and then goes down for two, why and then comes back up into three. It arrives a wave that I dig.
But this I'm actually interested in. Why do you like the series as a whole?
Because I think the character is a great character. I think it's a great. What's more scarier than something you can't control, which is your sleep.
Yeah.
Your dreams. Also, too, there's a big part of why new horror movies suck is because they explain the gimmick, where fear really has no rhyme or reason.
Right. But that's what every subsequent movie tried to answer.
Yeah, but
in the series.
In a fun way. But one is still the best. One is amazing. One is a good movie.
One is really good.
One is a good movie, not a horror movie. One's a great horror movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Like, top five?
I'm gonna throw out when I only watched the beginning of Never Sleep Again. I haven't finished it yet, but they were talking about how it's a series for teenagers because it's like a bunch of vulnerable kids that think that are supposed to be trusting these adults and think that they have control over them, and it's all about like how they're dealing with that, because all the adults are telling them to sleep, but they want to go against that. And so it's a whole like
a lack of control over your own life.
And so it's, I think because we all watched this when we were teenagers, we're like attached to it more. And I think that's why we all like the series so much personally.
Yeah. That no, that's sense. A good point.
Look at Jenny.
Look at that. Pulling out the final word.
She's got a nice haircut.
And yeah,
guys, Jenny's got a new haircut.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
All right. So overall, a great series to watch. I would recommend it. If you haven't seen it and you're listening to this podcast, go see it.
But watch the first one.
Watch the first one. Watch them in order.
That's
no. Don't watch them in order.
That's almost all you need is watching the first.
Just watch
one.
The first one. You really don't have to watch any of them. If you really want to watch two, watch A New Nightmare. Watch the first one and A New Nightmare, and then
it's a classic for a reason.
Yeah. It's you really don't have to watch any of the rest of them.
Yeah.
Unless you want to give us your ratings, then watch all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interaction. Social interaction.
Tell
us what you think.
Yeah. All right. So that concludes our Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Review us on iTunes.
Sorry, we got a little drunk near then, guys.
Review us on iTunes.
We were drunk way more than
I apologize.
So, follow us on Twitter at The Film Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Ricardo, U-L-T-R-E-R-E-S.
I'm at Jhenaigh, J-E-H-N-E-I-G-H.
At B.L. Bennett.
And we're on, you're not on Twitter, right? And then we're also on Facebook.
Yeah.
Follow us. We started doing some, try to get more social people.
Yeah.
So follow us. We're going to be posting more.
Yeah.
Not promise. To be annoying, but to be cool.
Yeah. Cool stuff we're posting. Yeah. We're not posting lame stuff. all right. Until next time. Hey, guys. Keep your nightmares dry.